Morning, everyone. Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting will now come to order. Anyone has a cell phone or any other audible device, if you'd silence them now, it's not to disrupt the rest of the meeting. We'd appreciate it. If you'd stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Moving along now to item number 3, this is discussion and possible action, approval of the agenda for October the 17th, 2017. In the interest of time, I've been asked to move item 15 up, and we'll move that up right after item 5, the consent agenda, so between 5 and 6. Move 14 up there, that's the Dufresne matter. And he's unable to attend today, but his wife is in attendance. And so, are there any other changes that we need to make to today's agenda?
None that I'm aware of, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Mr. Osborne?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We are going to ask that we continue item number 25. That's AII, Auto Insurance America. We're going to continue it or ask for December 19th or January 2nd, if the December 19th meeting should be canceled. We are meeting with the applicant on working out a final resolution to this and believe that this will no longer be appearing in agendas for continuation.
What were those two dates again?
It could be December 19th on a normal situation. And, of course, we'll sit here at the Story County Courthouse, Virginia City. Or it would be January 2nd if the December 19th meeting should be canceled due to holidays or whatever might come up.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any public comment regarding today's agenda? All right. If I get a motion to approve with the noted changes.
I'll make a motion to approve today's agenda, moving item 15 to follow item 5 and continue item 5 to December 19th. And an alternative date of January 2nd.
It would be item 25.
Or item 25, sorry.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'll second.
Been moved and second to approve the agenda. Noted changes. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 4. This is discussion of possible action. This is approval of the minutes for September the 5th, 2017. Is there any public comment regarding the minutes of that day, that meeting? Hearing none, if I can get a motion to approve the minutes.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of September 5th, 2017.
I'll second.
Moved and second to approve the minutes. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 5. This is today's consent agenda. Is there any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? Hearing none, if I can get a motion to approve.
I'll make a motion to approve today's consent agenda.
A second.
Moved a second to approve today's consent agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. All right. With that, I'm going to segue over to item number 14, which we will recess as the Story County Board of County Commissioners, and we will convene as the 474 Fire District Board. Bringing us up now to item number 15. This is discussion and possible action. Payment of retirement claim for 1 year of service up to $41,346.59 based on PERS estimate as requested by Rob Dufresne. So I can give a little bit of history on this. Is that...
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Oh,
excuse me.
Hello.
Hi there, Madam D.A., we're going to go ahead and start with the Dufresne matter right now.
Okay.
And I'm going to seat you here between Commissioner McGuffey and myself.
So all right.
Is the microphone picked up on the microphone? Good right there? Okay. In any event, a couple of weeks ago, I was contacted by Rob Dufresne, and he has put in his paperwork for retirement from the Fire Protection District, 474. And in this conversation previously with members of staff, he had asked for and thought he was going to be eligible for the county to go ahead and buy him 1 year of retirement. He made the appointment, came and talked to me, and my first question was, as I asked Rob, I said, you want the county to buy you a year of retirement? And he said, yes. And I said, so how much time are you short? And he said, I'm not short at all. He said, I'm fully vested in the system. And I said, well, then why do you want the county to buy you a year of retirement? And he said, because his understanding was it's been a past practice of the county to do this. And that since he heard and knew of other individuals who had received this in the past, that he felt that he was entitled to it as well. I told him that I didn't have the authority to, that the staff did not have the authority to go ahead and give him any retirement, additional retirement benefits, and neither did I, and that this was an item and a matter that would have to be taken before this board. And he understood that, and so that's why we are here today, is because he's decided to bring this before the board. And in attendance, we have his wife, Marie, and I didn't know, Marie, if you wanted to, if you had anything to testify again today, or if you just, okay. If you're welcome to come up here to the podium. And when you get there, if you'd go ahead and identify yourself with the record.
My name is Marie Dufresne, D-U-F-R-E-S-N-E. Thank you for having us today. Appreciate it. Rob originally wanted to be here, but he was told that this matter would be heard on October 5th, and he has a long-time commitment that he couldn't be here today. So I'm here standing in. Really the point he wanted me to make in the letters, in the minutes, is that in the last year, the county has purchased years of service credit for three people that he knows of and provided money into their retirement accounts as well, in addition to those. And he's asking, not asking for anything out of the ordinary or over the top.
Okay. So, at this time, I think we should open this up to board discussion.
I wasn't really fully aware that this was going on. I had an idea that it was going on, but now it's come to a head. And I think this kind of bonus, if you want to call it, is exceedingly high. You know, coming from the corporate world, if you got $2,000 or $5,000, that was a big bonus then. And the idea was maybe send your family on vacation. Yeah, as a final farewell gift. I think a year of PERS is kind of, it's out there. You know, a lot of these individuals have been top of their departments. They're making good money. They're getting great PERS retirement. And so to add on top of that just kind of bothers me. I think it needs to be reeled in.
Mr. Gilman, do you want to weigh in on this?
Yes, I've become aware of the issue that's before us today. I believe that appropriations and the management of our county money belongs at this desk. So to the extent that there were policies, procedures, or something that was being followed in the past having to do with buyouts of PERS, didn't really come before our desk. And I, for one, wasn't aware of that. So it appears to me on the face that this gentleman is asking for additional retirement benefits from a union position that had very generous permits and retirements and sickness and leave, and they're entitled to a lot of benefits within our union program. And so I'm not prepared to consider augmenting or amending our procedures here in our county for allocating retirement to others that come after the fact. I don't think that that's the appropriate way. I think that those types of issues could come before this commission. They should be a line item if they're going to be allowed within the county. There should be a procedure that's followed on a professional and calculated basis. So with that being said, I think there's two issues perhaps before us today to discuss. One of the issues is, are we going to discuss a retirement bonus for this gentleman that hasn't been before the commission before, and do we see setting that? And I absolutely do not believe that setting that form of precedent with this commission today would be in our best interest for the county. And then secondly, I think we're discussing what has gone on before and what have been the procedure that's been followed within the county before, and how do we feel about either amending that or putting some different policies in place that would give some control. I do not believe any monies should be spent outside of the purview of this commission. That's our responsibility under NRS statute. And those statutes require that appropriations come from this body. And so to me, perhaps we're discussing two different issues here. And I believe it might require some research from staff for a bit more information on what exists here. So I would ask for others to enlighten us a little bit on what else is behind the scenes here.
Okay. Pat, do you want to weigh in on this?
Well, the agenda item is specific to the request for a PERS claim. We're going to discuss policy and whatnot. I think that's relevant, but we can't establish a policy here today under this agenda item.
Okay, so then I'll go next. So we currently don't have any policy regarding going ahead and giving a bonus or buying additional retirement years for people who perform the service for the county. Now, I've known Rob Dufresne pretty much his whole life. I know his Rob, I know his brother, I know his sister, friends with all, I know his wife Marie, friends of his parents. It's pointed out to me by another staff member in the county that a guy like Rob, he probably deserves it as much or more than anybody else who's ever received it. With that said, we don't have a policy in place for that. It's been perceived by past practice that there should be some entitlement here now. It's been explained to me in the past that we've had a past practice sometimes of people who have not had full years of service who wanted to get out early, and the county has stepped up and helped them out a little bit by buying one and a half, 2 years of service, helped them get them into the PERS system, get them off of county payroll because it was actually more cost effective to get them into their state retirement system than it was to keep them on county payroll because they were a high salary staffer or even elected official. To bring somebody else in at the bottom rung of the ladder, for a poor example, you're going to pay them a lot less than someone who was going out. So this practice has been approved in the past by this board that I'm aware of. When I look at this system that we have in place, Story County employees are entitled to a defined benefit system. And as to explain that a little bit further, that when you retire as an employee of Story County, you enjoy your retirement of 100% of taxpayer-funded retirement. Some jurisdictions, as in the state, there might be a match between employee and employer. It's not the case in Story County. The taxpayers fund the retirement 100%. As do they get their health care benefits paid, and in retirement they get it subsidized as well. So when you look at the whole package, it appears to me that it's very generous. It's a very generous package if you've completed your full term as an employee or elected official for Story County. And I think that's about as far as I can go with this. District Attorney Langer, did you want to weigh in?
Not at this time.
Okay. Then at this time, I would open it up for public comment regarding this item. Marie?
Marie Dufresne, when you talk about excess, isn't it excessive to give one employee an $80,000 bonus on top of paying a year a previous employee? Wouldn't that be excess when you talk about excess versus $40,000 versus
not,
plus?
Not to counter your point, but the discussion isn't about the past practice of someone else now. It's only referring to your husband's request for his benefit.
And don't the county commissioners look at the treasurer's report every month? Aren't you guys approving that?
We do.
So how can you say you didn't know if something was in there if it was in the treasurer report?
Well, once again, that's another argument for another day, since we're simply looking at your husband's request right now.
I understand that those are the points that you brought up, that you didn't know. And I'm saying you get the treasurer report, so how do you not know?
Okay. Ms. Bard?
Nicole Bart, Story County resident. Since during the discussion you brought up the possibility of misappropriation of funds, and since the prior speaker also brought up that in order for any money to flow out of this county, it needs to show up on a treasurer's report, therefore prior acts and actions would have been a part of that treasurer's report. My question to you is, when the investigation into how this could have happened without your knowledge or with your knowledge but you not knowing that you've approved it, will that report come back to this board and will that report be made public?
Well, I'm going to interrupt you because we're not going to answer that right now because this is on the matter of Rob Dufresne asking for a benefit right now. We're not talking about past practice right now. That's not an agendized item, okay? Mm-hmm. We're only going to speak specifically on this subject should Rob Dufresne go ahead and have the county buy him 1 year per.
So if I come back at public comment at the end of the meeting and ask the same question,
you can ask it.
Will it get answered there?
I don't know. It's public comment. We're not in the business of deliberating under public comment.
So
it's not an agendized item.
I will take this as a no that you will hide the results of the investigation because
it
will show you knew and
Ms.
did nothing.
Bart, stay on topic.
I am on topic.
No,
you opened
not.
The topic by saying that past practices were inappropriate. Lance made the comment that he doesn't believe we have a policy today, appropriately so, that what's happened in the past should not have happened because it should have been brought here. I'm a public person asking, who's watching the bank? How did you not know? There were three agendized items towards the end of last year, the beginning
Mr.
of this
Chairman,
year, to pay out terms.
We're well off the agenda.
I've mentioned that more than once, so please either stay on topic or surrender the podium.
Just saying. You
stay
approved
on topic
these,
or surrender the podium, Ms. Bard.
I'm surrendering it. You approved these on agenda items in the past.
Thank you. Thank you. Mr. Morse?
Mr. Chairman, I was asked by District Attorney Langer to be here just in case there were some issues that came up I'm currently working on the county manager job description plus some other policies that have a little bit of bearing on what's going on today. I agree the item is solely for Rob Dufresne's request. However, if the board is interested in following up on past practices, I think you can direct staff to come back with an item for that if that's something that the board is interested in doing. And I would just bring up something that was discussed by the board. There were retirement incentive program. There was a program, or there is a program, and it's different than a bonus, which I think is what's happening in this request. And so I just ask the board to be sure to keep those different ideas in mind when you consider this.
Very good. All right. Thank you, Mr. Morris. All right. We'll continue on with public comment. Hearing none more. Well, it has been requested by Commissioner Gilman that staff go ahead and look into the past practice of this, and then they'll report back to us on their findings, and then we'll go from there. With that being said, I'll bring it up now. What's the pleasure of the board regarding the Dufresne matter?
My belief from my chair is that it would not be appropriate to establish a precedent at this board that we're going to enter into bonus programs or pay programs after the fact. We have very generous union programs for everybody in this county's operation. And so it would be my feeling that the gentleman that is Mr. Dufresne, that's a party to this, be I thank him for approaching the board. I appreciate his asking for additional retirement benefits, but it's my opinion that would not be proper for this board to establish as a precedent in the county.
I prefer not to make a decision on this without a policy in place.
I don't understand what you're asking for then. I mean, you want us to come up with a policy before we make a decision on whether to pay?
Well, right now my decision is no. So if we had a policy in place, then that could sway my opinion. I don't know.
Well, the policy would be after the fact.
Yeah.
So the policy would only apply from the date that the policy was instituted.
Okay. Not retroactive.
No.
Well, I'm not aware of a precedent set at this point that we should entertain further retirement benefits for individuals that that are employed by the county. And I believe that that's a policy that or a precedent that should be set at this board today. If desired, perhaps we would ask staff to give us some more feedback on something that, and also I'd like to see something from our legal department. But I believe setting a precedent for retirement programs at the bench today would be inappropriate.
Okay. Do you have any follow-up, Jack?
I agree.
Okay. With that said, I think it'd be appropriate to go ahead and take a vote in the negative or the affirmative on this, and so.
I'll make a motion. You need a motion?
District Attorney Langer?
Yes.
Do we need a motion on either to accept or deny this this application?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll make a motion to deny this application for the $41,346.59 based on PERS estimate as requested by Rob Dufresne.
I'll second the motion.
Okay. I have a motion and a second to deny this claim. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All right. Motion carries. Okay. At this time, we're going to adjourn as the 474 Fire Board. And we're going to reconvene as the Surrey County Board of Commissioners. That'll bring us up to item number 6. This is discussion only. We'll take no action or public comment. These are committee and staff reports. I'll start over on the right side of the building, representing the Sheriff's Office, Eric Kern. Do you have anything today, Eric?
No, sir.
No? Okay. Thank you. Also on the right side of the building there, representing the community chest and library, Eric Sean.
Good morning, Eric Schoen for the record of Community Chest. Just three quick things. The construction of the community center is continuing apace. We're still on schedule to hopefully finish by February. Secondly, we have a big costume-themed Halloween concert on the 27th of October at Piper's Opera House. If you're interested in coming or knowing more, come to our website, communitychestnevada.net. Tickets are only $30. And lastly, the real reason I came up was to say thank you to Commissioner McGuffey and Chris. I think you had something to do with this as well. They organized and helped to pull together representatives from businesses in Tesla, at the TRI, to come to Story County and learn more about the four nonprofits that we have up here, Fourth Ward School, St. Mary's Art Center, the Story County Senior Center, and Community Chest. And it was a really professionally done presentation. It was a really nice group of people. I think you guys, it was a small but mighty group, and I think we're hoping to build on that. But you guys would have been proud. The board would have been proud. All of you would have been proud. There's really good leadership at all of those different nonprofits that we have here in Story County, from top to bottom. Those buildings, those facilities, those programs are being run really, really, really well. And you would have just been proud as a Story County resident by the discussions that we had and the connections that were being made. So thank you to you gentlemen for helping to pull that off, and to the other nonprofit leaders, and Sherry as well. Sherry Nevin was also there to represent Story County.
I'd like to add to that, Eric. Thank you for your participation as well. We did fall a little short on our targets, our primary targets. So we will do this again sometime in the winter, maybe early spring. I kind of wanted to wait till your building got done. Mm-hmm. So we'll be doing it again, and we're going to specifically target those two companies. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Great. The building is looking great down there, too. Yeah. Terrific. All right. We have the director of our IT here today, James Dean.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. James Dean, Story County IT Director. Just wanted to give you a brief report that we have purchased all the hardware required to build up our new AS400 replacement system. We've made some pretty significant headway in the new data center in this courthouse. Thank you to the assessors and the union for giving up a little bit of space to make that happen. We're going to put an agenda item on the next commission meeting, and we're going to start reporting on this regularly and keep the public involved and keep you guys appraised of the project as it moves forward. We slated about $100,000 for hardware. We're currently at about $88,000, so we're under budget and plan to stay under budget to the completion of this project. Anything that comes up after the fact, I think we'll be able to roll into next year's budget. So things are going quite well. That's all I got.
So do you have a date as to when your target date?
We're pushing for November 1. I don't think we're going to make that because electrical is not going to go until next week. But December 1 is probably the more likely target where we'll have the hardware spun up and running, and we will be doing development testing with both Tyler and DevNet. So we're ahead of schedule. I think we're probably going to be first in the state to start doing the testing and the configurations and the data exports and stuff like that. So there's some pain associated with that, but I'd rather get it over with and kind of rip off the Band-Aid, so to speak, and just get right in with this. But we're pretty ahead of schedule compared to the rest of the state. The assessor's office has been hitting the joint application development sessions pretty heavy. So Jana's going to have the software dialed in the way she wants it for her office, and we expect to do the same for the recorder's office and every other office that's going to be using the software. So very positive.
Have you had a chance to do any kind of evaluation?
Regarding?
Use, is it user-friendly or anything?
I have. I attended all of the presentations from Harris, Tyler, and DevNet. To me, they're all just names on the outside of a box. They all operate the same way. It's my concern was the support and the customer service, and both DevNet and Tyler have really stepped up. In fact, DevNet's going to open a support center in Carson City. And Tyler's got really good remote access strategies and stuff like that, training videos, a lot of resources that we've never had access to before. And all this will dovetail into making services more accessible on the web, getting a lot of that self-service type stuff that you see with the other counties. That's all going to become possible here in the next 2 years.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Good. Thank you, James. All right, you're going to attend us today, our Justice of the Peace, Arlene Harrington.
Good morning, Commissioners. Arlene Harrington, Justice of the Peace. I was in the department head elected official meeting this morning. We were talking, and I was observing some changes on our first quarter for some of our numbers coming in, and with the impact of the USA Parkway Tri, we're seeing an increase in our citations coming in. And just, you know, when I look at my quarterlies, usually the first quarter, the July through September, our citations are usually highest because we're in the summer season, tourist season. And looking back in our first quarter of 2012, we had about, $17,000 in fines. And that's one way for me to kind of look at, what's coming in. And in July 15th, we had about $19,000 in that first quarter. Well, in July 2016, we went to about $22,000 in fines for that first quarter. Now, the first quarter of this year, we're at well over $40,000 in fines, and that's quite a jump. And it's a lot of our citations are being generated out of the tri-area, and it does have an impact on our court. And also looking at traffic citations for the year, we usually run between 900 and 1,000 traffic citations. That doesn't include your criminal cases. But traffic citations going into the last quarter of this fiscal year, we're approaching 1,300, where our number from last year was between 900 and 1,000. So, and we are offsetting a lot of those costs through our special funds. And by special funds, I mean we're using money that's generated by the people who get the citations and break the law instead of it coming out of taxpayers' money. But I just thought that was interesting, kind of an observation, and I'm going to be looking at each quarter after this to see if it's sustained, if it's just not this summer we were busier in citations, but the predominant number of our citations are coming out of the tri-area. So it's just, a lot of industry, a lot of stuff happening out there, and with that comes an increase in traffic and citations.
Well, with the beefed up workforce out there of construction workers,
yes,
is probably where you're seeing most of it.
Yes.
Once that settles down and it's just regular people going to the regular jobs area, you're probably not going to see
that. That's what we're going to be looking at because, like I said, usually in the summer months we see a spike in the citation numbers, and I'm just going to be watching it after this to see what happens. But I just thought that was kind of worth reporting and kind of interesting.
I have fun
looking at these numbers.
I can certainly agree and imagine that the traffic that's building there is significant. Another kind of a sidebar on something like that is that we anticipated that the opening of the USA Parkway would relieve some of the traffic problems within the park itself and on I-80, and I believe that's happened. A lot of reports. I haven't actually seen a traffic study. but the impact on I-80 has definitely dropped. We're seeing a lot more traffic going south than ever before, and I think that's going to relieve some of the congestion on the service roads. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see what develops next year, but you're absolutely right.
It's just kind of an interesting observation. We watch that. Any other questions?
County Manager, one way.
Yeah, I just want to make sure our messaging and our purpose here is very clear, because it could be misunderstood. Sheriff Antonello is not here today. He's attending the annual Sheriffs and Chiefs Conference together with Chief Deputy Dozen. So we're going to be looking toward the back for Sergeant Kern, you know, to either nod his head affirmatively at a few statements or wave his handcuffs at me and basically say, you know, you better know when to shut up. The message here is not that there's been a fundamental change in the aggressiveness of citations. I see a report every day from communications that tells me, just this morning I looked, we're seeing a very similar statistical percentage of warnings versus citations. So I want to be clear, this is not the case where, you know, the sheriff's office is getting more aggressive out there. There's just more volume. You know, you got more cars, you got more travelers, you're going to have a fair proportional share of tickets and a higher proportional share of warnings as well. So there's no cultural change, no quotas, no anything out there. It's really pretty much business as usual. There's just a whole lot more customers walking in through the door.
Yeah, and right. I certainly agree with that observation. We just have a lot more industry going on, and with that brings more truck drivers, more workers, and that's all I see it as, too. Any other questions?
I'm getting my nods from the
That's correct.
Oh, hi there.
Just the increase in traffic on the USA Parkway. People are getting more familiar with it, and I think some of them are going a little bit faster than they should be. That might be part of the increase in the citations, but no, there is no directive or something put out to do extra enforcement, and our guys aren't stepping up anything other than they were before. It's just the volume has increased.
As always, our officers are keeping people safe out on the road.
Okay. It's interesting coming out of the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center on USA Parkway. It's a downhill road. So you start from up where Switch and we have a lot of industry on the top shelf there. And the USA Parkway is a downhill run all the way to the freeway. Mm-hmm. And so I think perhaps more some signage or traffic control, but it's pretty easy to allow your automobile to gain momentum, and the trucks as well. Okay. So I think we're always going to have to watch, because it's it definitely is part of the topography of the park. Okay.
Thank you. Anything
else?
Okay, thank you.
I know when Deputy Kern stopped me and wrote me a ticket, I said, "What, you have a quota to make?" He said, "No, we don't have quotas anymore." He said, "I can write as many tickets as I want." Over to DCTC. Director Danny Dawson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning. Like a lot of us probably here in this room, myself included, we grew up playing with train sets. In my case, I had no idea that someday I'd actually be sitting on a board and running a train. So the V&T is a new board, met for the first time last Friday, and got the engine moving in the right direction, I think. You know, this Friday we're going to set some subcommittee members and some chairs for things like the marketing team, the maintenance team, our finance committee, and most importantly right now is the time is our Polar Express team, to make sure that we capitalize and deliver on a wonderful event for the region. But as we move forward and get through our audits and figure out where we are, we look for some good changes for next year and collaboratively between Carson and us. And I think definitely you see the zip codes or the politics is off in the distance. I think we got to work on something together that's going to be special. So I look forward to that. It will be a challenge, and I'll be able to be pulled a little bit here for a while, but I'm looking forward to it. Speaking of special events, we kind of finished up one of the crazier events here in town on Friday or Saturday. I think it actually came out pretty well. Always with the events, there's a few eyebrows raised. especially with this one here and the zombies running through town. But a lot of people learned some history this weekend that they didn't normally have access to, so which is a good thing. They can come back and tell others about. And then it kind of winds down for the season. We're looking, obviously, we still have Thomas Train this weekend, which will be a good crowd for the next two weekends, and then Halloween, Veterans Day. But my team, both the Liquid Blue and Rad's team, will be meeting tomorrow to start the process to dissect this year and to look at what we need to make changes for next year and start working on the calendar. A lot of requests for dates for next year, so we'll try and get those out real quick.
Great.
That's all I've got.
Yeah, it's been quite good, especially mid-season, Denny.
Yes.
It's been terrific. Yeah. And we've got Denny and Commissioner McGuffey on the board, so we have two of the five members on the Railroad Commission now, so we do have control of our own destiny going forward, which is it's great. It's been a long time of coming. And of course, County Manager Witten spearheading the legislation to get that passed. It's the last legislature, so now that we're there, so congratulations to all. It's good. All right, next up, Director of Security, Melanie Keenum.
Nothing to do.
Very good, thank you. Our Story County Senior Center here in Virginia City, Melissa Gilbert. Nothing today. Okay. I see we have the recorder hype back in the corner there. Nothing today? Okay, thank you. Fire Chief Nevin?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioners, for the record, Jeff Nevin. Just a couple of things. We've seen the devastating and destructive fires on the other side of the hill from us. Our Firefighters Association has put some drop box collection items in place at all of our fire stations to send over goods to these folks that have lost completely everything that they've had. Most people escaped with the clothes that were on their back, not to mention any documents or food, medication, thing like that. So these guys have put together some collection boxes at each of the fire stations for gift cards, dry goods, food, clothing, pet supplies, anything that might be needed. I'm not sure the exact cutoff date, but if anybody's interested, they can go onto the social media website. The firefighters have a Facebook page, and we can get the exact details and information there. And then this Friday, or actually this week, is homecoming for the high school. Lots of events going on there, and culminates Saturday with a big football and volleyball game. But Friday night will be the annual bonfire that they have, and they plan to hold that at the Ice House parking area on the Divide. There will be a advisory that goes out in the newspaper this week for local residents to alleviate any concerns, and we will be monitoring the weather, and that fire will only take place if weather conditions permit it to. So we'll be, our staff will be on site monitoring the weather and making sure it's safe to do so. That's all I have. If you have any questions?
Questions for Jeff? Do you need a break? You okay?
I'm fine. I just got a bad cold. I apologize, and I hope we can put up with that. That's all it is.
Thank you, Jeff. Director over Community Relations, Sherry Nevin.
Good morning, Sherry Nevin for the record. Just a reminder that the Lockwood Community and Senior Center is hosting their open house next Tuesday, October 24th at 12:30. I think they've sent out invitations to everyone here, so hopefully you're able to join them down there tomorrow. Lunch will be served at 11:30, and I think they mentioned last time if you would like to come for lunch, make sure that you call in the day before and reserve your lunch. The other thing that I want to take a few moments to discuss is our sewer improvement project here in Virginia City. It's a very complex project, to say the least. It's critical and needed, but we knew it was going to be large. So we're working right now to get some information out to the public in form of a letter that will go out to all the customers on the water system. But we just want to make sure that people are aware that street closures and utility interruptions during this time are very likely and will most likely occur no matter where you're at in town. This is an 18-month project. We're working with Ames Construction. They have been fantastic to work with, very proactive. We meet on a weekly basis, sometimes two, three times a week, depending on what's going on. But I just want to make sure that people are aware. We'll do our best to notify you, but some things come up unforeseen, and we, you know, it happens. We have to deal with it right then. So we'll be getting information out on our website, Facebook page, and then we're going to make sure that our information hotline is updated too. So look for a letter coming out if you live in Virginia City here within the next couple weeks with some information on that. With the recent tragedies going on, it seems everywhere in the nation here, Story County was invited to participate in a mass fatality planning for rural communities workshop in Washington State. It's all paid for completely through a grant from Carson City Health and Human Services. So I'll be attending that for 2 days in November just to get some information. Hopefully we never have to deal with that, but at least we'll have a little bit of information to be prepared to as we see wildfires, destruction, mass shootings, things like that. So it'll probably be myself and a couple other representatives from Carson City, Lyon County, and perhaps Douglas County. So that's kind of our quad county, and we rely on each other in times of emergency, and it seems to work out that way. So that's all I have today.
Any questions for Sherry?
No.
All right. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Sherry.
All right. Director of Planning and Human Resources, Austin Osborne.
Thank you, Commissioners. Chairman Austin Osborne for the record. Just an update for the public and for you. We are finishing up Title 16 subdivisions, Title 17 subdivisions, and other stuff in zoning and a design standards manual and resolutions pertaining to all kinds of miscellaneous things dealing with planning. The website contains all of the latest and the greatest, which are almost complete, if not complete, the design standards, and still doing some proofreading on that and a couple little adjustments. On October 19th, there will be a Lockwood meeting to discuss these for the folks down there to let them comment. On November 2nd, there will be one in Mark Twain. And then 11/16 or November 16, there will be one again here in Virginia City with action. Last is the lands bill I'll be talking about later in the agenda. That is moving forward, and Congressman Amity's office and Senator Heller's office has been in communication with me on trying to help them get what they need on their side. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Austin. The Comptroller's Office, Mr. Gallagher.
Nothing in this time, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Chief Deputy Loomis.
Chief Loomis, District Attorney's Office. I'm just going to update you briefly on the Sutra Springs Road litigation. The plaintiff has requested that we stipulate to dismissing the lawsuit. We have an ability to collect some of our costs back, as does the private defendants. And there's also ability to get a small portion of attorney's fees back, and the our attorneys are looking at that possibility right now. But I expect it should end shortly.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Loomis. Everybody in the audience. County Manager Whitman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Several things. First off, I want to echo and amplify what Sherry mentioned about the sewer pipeline project here. And there will be impacts. There are impacts, and our key focus right now as a county is targeted definitely on getting the word out as quickly as we can. The way I look at the utility service interruptions, they can either be planned or they can be instantaneous. And I'm going to give you an example of an event that happened last Thursday. Ames crew was working about 30 foot underground in an open trench with proper OSHA protection. And they were working in an area where the dirt was unstable from a fill of Tunnel 7, which is down on L and Washington Street. As there became more slough, our water main came into play began sagging to an area that was of immediate concern to us as far as the safety of the workers in the trench. So Mike called for an immediate shutoff of water south of east of I Street down Washington, which interrupted service to about 45 homes. It was restored within 4 hours, and again, it was that event that taught us that we really need to be able to proactively get information out in a multitude of ways. These will continue. Maybe only Mr. Backus might know what's buried under the streets of Virginia City, because he's been in there most of them, but I will tell you it's a big, big project. Moving along, switching gears to Denny. I want to congratulate Denny, but especially Katie. I had the opportunity to sit in briefly on the Reno Tahoe territory that came up to Virginia City last week. Probably 50 great tourism folks. The Slammer was packed, and it looked like a very, very good meeting. Moving again, we recently hired, and he started yesterday. The county now has a full-time fire marshal working through our community development group. That is Martin Azevedo. Martin comes to us with over 20 years of service with the state fire marshal's office, and we're excited to have him on board and filling that role. And then last, Planning Director Osborne mentioned the potential for meetings to be called off. Typically, we do this in the last 2 months of the year, but we do have intentions of putting on the consent agenda for the November 7th meeting, that we would waive off the November 21st meeting and then meet on December 5th and waive off, hopefully, December 19th, which is only 6 days before Christmas. We still always have the opportunity to call for special meetings if there are urgent issues, and we'll keep an eye on the flow of items that are backing up and anticipate maybe longer than usual meetings on November 7th and December 5th if we stick with our plan. And that's it, sir.
Great. Any questions for Pat? No. Very good. Thank you. County Clerk, Vanessa Stevens. Nothing today? All right. So that's going to go ahead and conclude the committee and staff reports. And we'll go ahead and we'll move on now to item number 7. These are board comments. We'll take no action to public comment. Step down to my far left. Commissioner Gilman?
Nothing today, thank you. All right.
Commissioner McGuffey?
No. Of course, Denny already elaborated on the BMT Commission. We did have a meeting last week. Denny became the chair of the commission.
Congratulations.
Another new member who replaced Mayor Bob Crowell is Nick Morano. He is the Carson City manager. He's vice president. Then Joel Dunn, the tourism director for Carson City, he's going to be the treasurer. So I'm the odd man out here, which is great because Dwight Millard, who was the previous chair, he sent in a letter of resignation. And all along, when we were passing or pushing the SB 57 through, I kept guaranteeing him I didn't want his job at all. And I wanted him to stick around, but he chose to leave. So everybody stepped up, and I think we got a great team. Everybody seems to be one. Everybody agrees we need to get rid of this division of Carson and Virginia City and work as one. So I'm looking forward to that. I got an update last week on the Highland cell tower. It looks like T-Mobile is close to signing an agreement and applying for a permit to put their cell service up on that tower. I was hoping that Gary Hames would be here today because
He's actually stuck his hand out to help them expedite the application and get that going once they're ready to go. So that's good news, because it looks like they still want to do it by before the end of the year. They have some towers they want to put stuff on, and we're one of them. That's a good thing. Just last weekend, St. Mary's Art Center, they had their fall gallery with the artists there, so you could meet and speak with the artists and look at the art. They had hors d'oeuvres and wines and sodas or whatever. It looked like a great turnout. And then following that, everybody migrated over to the Fourth Ward School for their first annual Back in Time Days fundraiser. I was there early. I guess it pretty much sold out. It was a packed house. They had some art. They turned some of the art desks, pieces of art desks that they had stashed in the attic, and turned it over to several artists, and they turned these pieces into art. And there was quite some imagination going on with that. Very nice stuff, and I guess those were silent auctioned off, and I haven't got a report on that, but sounds like it was a great event. And that'll be all for me.
Great. Thanks, Commissioner McGuffey. I have nothing today, so that'll conclude board comments. I've been asked if we'd move item 12 up next, since we have in attendance the Story County Superintendent of the Schools. Todd Hess is in attendance. And we know that his time is very valuable, and so if there's no questions or comments on moving number 12, we'll go ahead and go with that. Discussion and possible action. Consideration and possible action to approve a contract to purchase Piper's Opera House from the Story County School District for $300,500 and other considerations. Mr. Loomis.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Keith Loomis, District Attorney's Office. This involves a transaction between two governmental entities, which has made it a little bit more complicated than a typical transaction would be. Part of that process was that the school district, in order to sell school district property, is required to go out and get two appraisals to determine the value of the property, and then cannot sell it for less than the appraised value. The school district did go out. They did get the two appraisals. One was for $400,000. One was for $300,500. And what we have proposed is that the county will meet the $300,500 appraisal, plus provide some other consideration, which will be established in an interlocal contract. That interlocal contract will provide that the school district will have the use of Piper's Opera House for school district events without charge for up to 30 days per year, and will also provide that the personal property that is of historic in nature will remain within the Piper's Opera House for tourism purposes and for historical artifacts and things like that. So this is before you today. The school district will have to go through a separate process to be authorized to actually sell the property, and they're having a meeting today, I believe it's tonight.
Tomorrow?
They're going to have their meeting tomorrow, and in that process they will have to approve a resolution that says that they're proposing to sell the property to the county for the $300,500 and for other consideration, which would be set out in an interlocal contract. They have to publish that resolution in the newspaper twice, set a subsequent meeting at which objections to the sale can be heard, and then they'll make a decision on approving the contract or not approving the contract at that meeting. So we're in the middle of a process that's going to take a little bit.
All right. Very good.
Was there a structural review of the building that was included as a part of the appraisal taken into consideration?
I don't know.
If I may answer that to the best of my knowledge, we're in possession of a structures report, a historic structures report. I would tell you, in working with the State Historic Preservation Office and the Comstock Historic District, one of our first orders of business will be to update that. It was done circa, I think, 04, as I recall. That's just grabbing a number. I haven't looked at that report for a while. But there's been a number of studies that we are in possession of.
All
I think that would be an important element of the bike, as to if there's serious structural repair that has to take place, we should know that up front before we take ownership.
And we have used the county engineer. I think we've identified, sans that update, the issues. The issues would not appear to be frightening, if you will. And they appear, and I hope I don't offend Todd and school district trustees, but they appear to be ones that the county can probably better address, possibly, than the school district might. I mean, their focus and their mission is on education. Our focus and mission, while broader, much broader than what I'm going to say, is on acquiring, preserving, and enhancing, hopefully, the treasures of Virginia City in respect to this. And most importantly, too, not letting them fall into private ownership. So I think we're in good shape. We know a few issues. We actually, in anticipation of this transaction, we stepped in just before New Year's Eve this past year. There was a structural failure. We were aware of it. The fix was not that costly. We had a structural engineer take a look at it, fashion a fix, and we went ahead and fixed it in anticipation of this. So we're on it, sir.
All right. Well, we open up for public comment. You guys can arm wrestle.
Mr. Chairman, County Commissioners, Mr. Attorney Manager, Mr. Deputy DA, Chris Thompson, TRI Project Manager. I think this is a great move by the county. Mr. Chairman, in my first meeting with you years ago, when I got up here, you made clear to me that there were three treasures here in Virginia City that you asked TRI look at, paying attention to, and supporting, and getting our companies to support: the Fourth Ward, St. Mary's, and Pipers. And I can't imagine anything more historical and more emblematic of Story County of Virginia City than Piper's Opera House. And so I think this is a great move by the county to take this under your own wing and protect it for posterity. And in that vein, what I would like to suggest for future consideration is the county has an infrastructure fund, and perhaps it could be looked at. There's a lot of money sitting in that fund that has been carefully protected by the county staff very effectively. That might be a good spot to spend some of that infrastructure money. It's exactly what it's for, and what a treasure this is. And I think this is a great move by the county. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thanks for your comments. Okay. Mr. Cole.
Good morning, gentlemen. Sam Toll, for the record, Gold Hill. Mr. Whitten, can you expand on your statement that you are against this property falling into private hands? And is that a position of the county specifically?
No, it's not.
Okay. So I think that Mr. Hess showed clear vision in taking something that's completely out of his purview and venue and saving, what we all clearly recognize as a jewel within the county. The concern that I have is similar to what Mr. Gilman brought up, that the county is going to get a pretty good deal at $300,000 for this property, but estimates that I've heard from folks suggest that we may be looking forward to spending upwards of $2 and perhaps $3 million to renovate this property and get it so that it doesn't fall down or so that the structure maintains its integrity. But this speaks to a larger question. Marshall, you and I had some good moments yesterday morning. You were very kind to talk to me about the county's position on the eminent domain concern on D Street with Mr. Powell's property. And direction or consideration of the county becoming in the business of owning and maintaining historical properties Might suggest to folks like those who own maybe the Mackey Mansion, the castle, that this is a direction that the county wants to go. And when you consider the core purpose of the county, albeit knowing and recognizing that we are in a unique situation here in Story County with the assets that we have here, is it appropriate for the county to continue to purchase and then be on the hook for and maintain these kinds of properties with or without plans in place for the future use of those properties? That's my concern. I think that a lot more should go into this idea, and perhaps we actually might get more money for that property. The school board may get more money for that property if it was put on the open market and purchased by a private entity. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, continuing on. More public comment. Okay, Ms. Bard, and then we'll go to Mr. Hess.
Nicole Bard, Story County resident. Thank you for considering purchasing it and bringing it back. I, you know, as a former board member with Pipers, I love it. I just love that building. But I do have a question. I mean, you know what the history is, Marshall. You've lived it with that building. We've petted it to death. It's beautiful, but we haven't done what she deserves. Eureka has done with that opera house exactly what she needs here. So not so much my question is, so what, it's like a puppy you bring home. You're going to have to feed it. You're going to have to care for it. What is the county's plan with Pipers? Are we going to continue to pet it to death and let it decay slowly? Are we willing, you know, as Chris mentioned, to really put some money behind it, because it's beyond, it's not just the structural repair that needs to happen. She does need to get renovated. So that is my question as a taxpayer, as a former board member, is what's different this time with the county having that property that is going to make a difference, a real difference in preserving, renovating and preserving her? What is our plan?
I'll address that in my comments.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Hess.
Todd Hess, Superintendent, Story County School District, for the record. I don't know if I'm going to have a heck of a lot to add unless you guys have questions. The first thing I'd like to say is what a phenomenal person you have here, Mr. Keith Loomis. The direction that he's given a district with limited resources, Patton himself, has just been phenomenal. So I want to really thank him on that. Everything we've done, we've sent off to our own attorneys, which is Allison and McKenzie, and they haven't changed a word or a sense on what he has performed here. The NRS is a little vague on what we're able to do with it, and Keith identified it, you know, fairly quickly. We did have to get two appraisals. We then followed the lead of what Douglas County and Humboldt County have done in regards to the sales of these properties. So we went ahead and got the two appraisals. Pipers was bought by Story County School District January 1st, 2014 for $282,310 by Pipers Opera House Programs, I think it was called back then. My understanding is the county wasn't really in a fiscal position to be able to do anything at that time for the purchase of Pipers, even though that was probably wanted. The school district did. As Jeff Nevin, our board president, stated, I thought perfectly, is it was never thought of that the district would have it forever. It was just to get it through, you know, that time. Since running it since 2014, we've put it in the black very strongly. So that's been terrific. We just don't have the resources, in my opinion, to maintain it. I'm a sixth generation from Virginia City. I'm a history major. Would love to keep the building. We're not able, we don't have the resources to do it. We don't have the maintenance, the custodial, and especially the grant writing. And to echo what Mr. Toll and Ms. Bard said, is, you know, I agree with that. That you know, there should be a good, clear vision laid out. Looks like now the grants are starting to come back through, and you guys are in a much better position to do that. And working with Pat, we'll have an agreement. We'll get 30 days per year with the schools. So the schools, you know, would get to stay strongly involved if that were to take place. So with that, it'll come back up for our question if it's approved tomorrow night, November 15th at 5 o'clock. Do you guys have any questions for me? Thank you.
Thank you, Todd.
Thank you, Todd.
All right. More public comment? Okay. I'll weigh in on this. I'll try to address some of these concerns that have been brought up. First of all, I'd like to commend the Story County School District for taking on this endeavor a few years ago. Todd's predecessor, Rob Slaby, when I talked to him, they at the time were considering putting $2.5 million aside for a music and drama center. And then when the Opera House came to be where it could be sold and they could acquire it for less than $300,000, he was looking at it as a slam dunk for the time being. Which was great. They could go ahead and they could do their music and drama center in there. They took it out of the hands of the nonprofit organization, which I was a member of, and several others were. And we were at a point we couldn't pay our own way because even though we were a nonprofit, we had insurance and we had all the other things that went into it, the maintenance and the staffing. So. And we were only able to operate from grant funding from Story County as we operated as a nonprofit. It doesn't pay its own way. It's one of those. It's like a swimming pool. Everybody wants to use it, but it doesn't pay for its own way. So with the school district stepping in, they saved the day. Some of the concerns of this building falling down, those are unfounded. There have been several $1 million that have been put into this, into the foundation of this building. Additional structural support into the north wall with steel beams in there. There's been work done with the rafter set up there, and that's some of the work that was done this last winter, too. There's more to be done. But with the county taking ownership of this and going forward, we're going to have access more to. We have a grant writer in house that can do some work on stuff like this. And I'm looking right at you, Sherry. And that, but you know, there's Treasures of America institutions out there that can help us out. And when you're talking about the grants that had dried up, I think it was in 2010 or 2011. We were applying for grants every year to help out through SHPO and other agencies. We were told back then we would probably be awarded the grant, but don't expect any money until, I think it was 2017. They were looking 7, 8, 9 years out before any money was going to flow back in again because the country was in a great recession. So here we are. We're limping our way out of that. And I think that the Opera House is one more piece of the Story County puzzle. And even though government is supposed to be looking out for taxpayers' dollars and, you know, health, education, and welfare of a community, I think that we have a responsibility as the people looking after the county. The historical monuments that we have in Virginia City are Story County history. Nevada wouldn't be a state if it wasn't for Story County and Virginia City with the gold and silver mining that went on here in the 1800s. So we would either be part of the Utah Territory or we'd be part of California right now if it wasn't for Virginia City. So these are things that we have to maintain, and I think we have a responsibility and an obligation, a moral obligation, to go ahead and protect these grand old pieces of history here. So if you can't tell, I'm in total support of the county taking acquisition of the Opera House, and I just think it's great. It'll be a great venue. We're still going to be teaming up with the school district. They're still going to be able to utilize it. They're going to have graduations there. They can use it for music. They can use it for drama. It's a great learning center for history. Anybody who's walked through there can read about the people who performed there throughout the early days. And it's just a grand old lady right next door. So I hope I've come across and explained some of your concerns. So I'll open up one more time for public comment. Did you have any thoughts?
Yeah, I was just going to say it's a great building. The school district's taken well care of it. Of course, it's got a new paint job that helps a lot too. It's our neighbor with our building, this building being painted. I think the goal down the road is similar to St. Mary's Art Center, Fourth Ward School. We'll get a board in place, and we have a fantastic grant writer, Sherry Nevin, among us, that's going to help generate money to help maintain and maybe add to the reconstruction of the building. So I'm looking forward to that. You know, I've been here long enough to see that it was before it was in private hands. These people mean well, that have utilized or purchased the building before, but they cannot generate enough revenue to maintain the building. So they basically, all they do is generate enough just to keep the doors open. So with the county taking it on, just as they've done with the Fourth Ward School and St. Mary's Art Center, this will give us opportunities to bring it back. It's a slow process. We're still bringing back the Art Center and the Fourth Ward School is constantly, you know, these old buildings constantly need something. And so this will be good for Pipers.
Thanks, Sam.
I think from the perspective of the VCTC, we are becoming a tourist mecca, and our industry here and our community is driven by tourist dollars and visitation. And probably well done and properly done, Pipers could be the major draw in the community for events and functions and things. So I think it's very appropriate that we manage it from the county's perspective.
Yeah. I kind of want to add, you know, just so everybody has a proper perspective on the $2 to $3 million of work. I wouldn't doubt that number for a minute. But I will tell you, we had a historic structures report done 6, 7, 8 years ago, required by state historic preservation. And when they require it, they don't come in and say, you have to have this. They say, if you want money from us, you know, these are our rules. We'll even pay for the historic structures report. That report exists. Like I said, it needs to be refreshed and updated. You need to assess what work has been done since 2004, whenever the report was done. Reports plural, I might add. But they prioritize for you. I'm looking at Sherry. We kind of a humorous story, I think, in whenever this was, that we want to get seismic stability here. We have unreinforced masonry. We have this, and we had no money. So we would go back to SHPO and we'd say, we need to seismically retrofit this building. I said, you need a historic structures report first. Going through that in-depth process taught us real quickly that there's little odds that this building is going to fall down in the event of an earthquake. They told us it's going to burn down before it falls down. So they lead you down a path as to where those monies should go, whether it's county invested from the infrastructure funding, which I think is a great idea, in part, whether it's grants, using that to match grants, the Save America Treasures program that you mentioned. There are a number of options out there. So while there probably are $2 to $3 million of work on the horizon, it's not work that has to be done 30 days after we close escrow. It might be closer to 30 years over time, but we will work down that priority list and we will develop a map on that. So I think that's really it. I also want to thank Todd and Jeff Nevin as president of the school board. And the rest of the trustees for even considering this. You know, I mean, as was mentioned, you could go out probably and sell it for $400,000 if that's what you chose to do. I'm going to look over at our comptroller here for a minute and just address one more last thing that I think would be important in conjunction with this. $300,500, where's that money coming from? It's actually coming from two pots. And I don't know enough about one pot, Hugh, so if I goof this up, you jump in. But back in the day, Toys R Us had a standard 50% abatement, incentive abatement, on their personal property tax. There were provisions and clawbacks in that. Specifically, they had to be here, I believe, 10 years, as I recall, and they had a number of other parameters. Well, they left in sooner than 10 years. They shuttered the facility and consolidated. No, they actually took their operations into their retail stores, and look where they are today, you know. But, you know, the bottom line is there was an agreement, I believe, somewhere in the vicinity of about $270,000 that Toys R Us was required to pay back to Story County with very limited parameters as to how that money could be used. It can't just get dumped into the general fund. You know, we can't go have a big Christmas party bigger than ever. You know, we definitely want to, you know, we want to adhere to the conditions of that agreement. And that, I think, is going to be the lion's share of this $300,000, is the money that we've been holding on to now for probably at least two, if not 3 years, that does fit the criteria of this, we believe. So, that's it.
Mr. Dole?
I know I've already spoken, but...
Then you make it brief, right?
I certainly would. Okay.
So in my professional career, I purchased probably a half dozen pieces of equipment that exceed the purchase value that we're talking about today. You suggested to Ms. Barr that you would have a plan. Jack suggested that the plan may be to create a 503C entity that would take it over. Is that the plan?
I believe so.
That would... You know, I think, again, to answer that question specifically, what are our uses? We look at it as a multitude of uses. We look at it as a venue for the VCTC, for Katie to fill it up. We look, hopefully, to launch off of what the school district has done with their wedding programs and their other programs. I mean, that's certainly one of them. How we do it remains to be seen. There's been a very small but dedicated group of I don't know if they're volunteers or paid, but through Karen and Andrea, and in the past Patrick, that have done this. But certainly let me just cut it short. We have right now four treasures in the county that the county has been blessed with very good 501c3s to operate. Specifically, those are the Fourth Ward School, the St. Mary's Arts Center, the old hospital, the fire museum, and the ice house. And again, would that be our only plan? Not necessarily, but that is certainly probably at the top of the list as to how we would slice it.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I can tell you that the county in and of itself could not have accomplished or be accomplishing what we're doing in any of those other treasures, you know, particularly the Fourth Ward School, St. Mary's, and the fire museum, and the ice house, for that matter, with the G Posse. We would not, those buildings may not even be there. I remember 5, 6, 7 years ago, the ice house was in danger of collapsing. And volunteers from the ice house came in, I believe your dad, for one house, came in and they did engineering cabling systems to hold it together. And that's what that 501c3 did for that building.
Right. So the idea when I made my purchase evaluations to encumber myself for $300,000-$400,000 is to do an ROI. Jack suggested that the private folks who have been in possession of this building in the past could not make anything more than covering expenses. We're suggesting that we're going to spend $300,000 and then potentially invest another couple $1 million in this property. And I think that it's in everyone's best interest to have a more solid, defined plan than simply saying, well, we may do this and we may do that. That's my statement. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
My comment to that is ROI is a private sector. I think it is in a vacuum as it pertains to local government.
Right. And if we do want to do a comparison to the Eureka Opera House, it's only about one quarter the size of Piper's, and they just had a windfall of money that had come in through the net proceeds of the mining taxes that were out in that county. So they had more money than they knew what to do with. They built and bought everything brand new out in that county. When you have a population that small and that much tax revenue, that's easy to do. Okay. Any other public comment? Hearing none, pleasure of the board.
So from what I understand, though, that we have to wait for the school board to make a decision on something? No.
We can approve it right now, and then upon the agreement of the school board to go through their motions, it will be a done deal.
Okay.
It's essentially going to be an offer to the school board, and the school board can accept it or reject it.
Okay.
Would you like a motion?
I certainly would.
Okay. Commissioner Jack McGuffey moved to approve the contract for the purchase of the Piper's Opera House from the Story County School District and authorize the chairman to sign. Second motion.
Been moved to second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Great. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, before you move on, I just kind of want to put the board and staff on notice. I've had a request, and this tells you what dedicated employees that we have. Items 27 and 28 involve a member of the Story County District Attorney's Office, an employee of the District Attorney's Office. And while she really wants to be here for this, she's asking for the courtesy and consideration of moving those two items to her lunch hour so she can come over and attend. So if that's acceptable to you, that'll be sometime shortly afternoon, and definitely if they conclude before 1.
Okay.
And that's dedication, in my opinion.
It is. Okay. We'll hold off on that until she's able to appear. Okay, now we'll move on to item number 8. This is discussion only. We'll take no action. This is a review of the first quarter 2018 unaudited budget to actual review. Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is kind of the first time we have done a first quarter review. We've always waited till the year was half over, but with respect to how we're trying to look at things and give you a better idea of what's happening and maybe some of the roadblocks we see down there, some of the things that may or may not have to be abated going down the road, I think it's a perfect opportunity to do that. I must apologize for my typing. I was probably thinking of somebody in Brooklyn, New York, when I went and typed in quarter instead of quarter, but my apologies for that. In looking at how we're doing on the first quarter, and we always do this for the second and third, we did it for the second and third quarter last year, a lot of this, it looks very good. Our revenue is tracking at about 35%, and understand this is 25% of the year done. So this percentage will probably go down a little bit because 52% of our ad valorem is already in because of that. But there's other instances that we're having that, for example, special use permits, franchise fees, business licenses. Things are continuing the way they were during the third quarter or fourth quarter of 2017. So now that we're in 2018, our expenses on the other side for the general fund, I think that the department heads have managed their departments very, very well. As you can see, a lot of those percentages in the right-hand column are very low. There's a couple of little high, and that's probably, and I'll go through some of those reasons, but right now the general is sitting at 35% of revenue and sitting at 21% of its expenses, which I think are pretty good. There are a couple of areas where I would like to direct you. One is community development. Even though they're at 25%, there has been a request by Gary Hames for a need for a licensed a building inspector which has electrical capability, and this is because right now what we're doing is we're using outside resource to do that, which doesn't bring any money into the bank. And we've looked at it. I've talked it over. I agree with the concept because this is not going to go away. Lance and Mr. Norman have done a tremendous job of building that park out there, and I don't see, with the building going on now, how it is ever going to stop, probably. But this is a good first step.
to get us to the point where we're self-sufficient, that we can do things with that, and that may possibly be a augmentation in May or June. Just a possibility there. We have district court is at 69% of their budget, although it should be 25, and that's my fault. Vanessa brought me a document from the court system that said it was supposed to have X number of dollars, which their yearly contribution was about $77,000, and in the term between the tentative and the final, I didn't go back to that document. I asked her if she could lower it. She agreed, but that wasn't supposed to be. So that was my fault on that one. I have a feeling that during the course of the year, we're not going to have to augment any of that money because, that, as I said, she's at 25%, and Vanessa does a great job with the budget. The only other one is community relations, and that is, I think that's due to a couple of our 501c3s who got their second quarter stipend a little early. So I am not worried about that at all. Special revenue funds, I think Rose is at 30% of their revenue and 9% of their expenses, but that will change because I think we're, as county manager with Tony this morning, that's the end of their paving season is done, or is going to be done, so there's quite a bit of that done. The one that I'm going to start looking at is the Virginia City Divide Sewer. There was an $8,000 repair of a septic tank that they had to go through. Operating supplies seemed to be a little high, and that's probably more or less in the chemical side. So I'm going to take a look at that, and I'll have a report from you for you on that a little later on. Everything else, there is also the Justice Court Fund, which is sitting at an 82% appropriations percentage, and that's court, and most of that is their court view, and a lot of the stuff you have to pay in the first quarter, and that just rides itself through the end of the year. So essentially, from Story County and all of its special revenue funds, I feel very good about the first quarter. We'll continue to monitor those items which we think we need to go, and again, keep all of you informed about a little bumps in the road and where we may or may not want to go in the future.
Right. Any questions for you?
No.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Gallagher. Moving along to item number 9 now. This is a discussion of possible action. No, there's not. But thank you for asking. Approval of cooperative local public agency agreement between the State of Nevada Department of Transportation and Story County for the 6 Mile Canyon Emergency Repair Project.
Thank you, Sharon Evan, again, for the record. Excuse me, I just ran back up the stairs. As a result of the winter storms in early 2017, 6 Mile Canyon sustained major damage, as you're aware. It was closed for several months so that emergency repairs could be made to the roadway. 6 Mile Canyon is considered a major collector to a state highway, allowing us to seek reimbursement from federal highways through NDOT to assist us with recouping some of those costs that we had taken on as a result of what we did down there to get the road back open. So this agreement here between the county and NDOT will allow the county to seek reimbursement for approximately $255,113 once emergency relief funding is made available through federal highways. Once. That's the operative word. I don't know when. We don't have an estimate when those funds will be available, but this is the first step in allowing us to access those when they do become available. So I think you have all of the paperwork that you need there. If you have any questions for me, I'm happy to answer those.
Is this the total amount of the repairs, or is this just the total amount that we're entitled to get reimbursed for?
This is the total amount of the emergency repairs. That's 100% funding.
Okay.
For the permanent repairs, which will come later, we'll get 95% reimbursed with a 5% match from the county. So it's a pretty good program through Federal Highways. Of course, it is a federal program, so you know, there is a lot of requirements that we have to go through. So, but I think a lot of what we did through FEMA down there before with the other grant we were trying to get has kind of, the foundation is there, so hopefully we shouldn't have too much more to do on the permanent side. But again, I don't know when this money is going to come. The state doesn't know. It's just, I mean, we're in the pipeline.
Right.
So when they do release those funds.
Of course, they're probably looking for congressional appropriation on this, too. So.
Exactly. And we're competing against, you know, a lot of other places in the nation that are going after this.
Just hope we get it done sometime in this Congress, which wouldn't necessarily mean this year. It could be by the end of next year.
Yeah. And then we have a migratory bird species in that canyon there, so that kind of limits our time when we'll be able to do some of these permanent repairs. So, you know, everything is kind of a real workaround. So.
Very good. All right. Any public comment regarding this? Any board comments? None? Okay. You get a motion to approve this cooperative agreement?
I move to approve the cooperative local public agency agreement between the State of Nevada Department of Transportation and Story County for the 6 Mile Canyon Emergency Repair Project.
I'll second the motion.
Moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right. Moving along to item number 10, discussion of possible action. Okay. Accept receipt of 2 motorcycles from Washoe County, free of charge, through a Department of Homeland Security grant for response and use in the backcountry operations.
Mr. Chairman, the sheriff has asked me to go ahead and present this since he's been working with me, and he said something about Sergeant Kern being a very bashful kind of guy. So this is a pretty simple, straightforward transaction, but with a good feel story to it, I'm hoping. And that is sometime back, the Washoe County Emergency Management Team and our Emergency Management Team talked together, and there happened to be a comment made actually to a number of the emergency managers. You know, hey, Washoe County happens to have two motorcycles that, you know, we want to upgrade, we want to move on, so first taker gets them. So that prompted a review with our DA's office. The sheriff went to work, had them looked at, to the best of my knowledge, and also most importantly is in the process of developing policies on use and also training, safety training for these folks. His intent, as he's expressed it to me, is these are meant to be used in back road operations and not street. The motorcycles are not necessarily going to be used day to day in traffic patrol in, you know, Virginia City or USA Parkway or anything else. They will be back road. The prices are free. We were told in the process that neither the sheriff nor myself could accept anything free of charge. Therefore, we needed to get your permission. And Commissioner McGuffey, I think when this came up before, you wanted to see a picture. I apologize for not printing those, but Sheriff Antonor did share those with me as well. Those are the two. They are street legal, but again, his intent is back road. Pretty rough country back there getting some of these places these guys get. And another thing that he told me that I really liked is he doesn't have necessarily a specific dollar amount, but this is going to save a lot of wear and tear on our cars, on our automobiles. So, you know, this is the way to go. And we have, Eric, 3 or 4, I think, at least qualified back road, properly endorsed deputies that can operate these.
That is correct, sir. We have several deputies that have Class M motorcycle licenses. A few that have backcountry experience in riding the bikes. They are BMWs. They are a heavier dual sport model. But the sheriff mentioned that we would be, once they get this rolling and they're inspected and in working order, we'll be working with Carson City Sheriff's Office to go over some training
just to add an addition, it would be used for backcountry, as County Manager Whitten said, out in the, between here and the industrial park, where we've been sent down quite a bit in the last year. They also may be used.
Okay, I'm going to interrupt you for 1 second, Deputy Kern. Is it? I think I'm going to have you come up to the podium, because otherwise I'm going to take the heat from staff when they're trying to transcribe the audio, because these microphones are usually specific to this area here. So if you're going to continue on,
Sergeant. Okay. Again, Sergeant Eric Kern, Story County Sheriff's Office, here on behalf for Sheriff Antonoro as he's away. Continuing, there was some comment that they may be used in special events for something, but that's up in the air and in question. We haven't, that hasn't been thought through yet, but if need be, maybe an option. But as of right now, simply used as backcountry to go out in the hills to do search and rescue operations, something to that nature, check the petroglyphs. As County Manager Witness said, going back in there, if some of you have been on those roads lately, it can be very, very rough on any vehicle. That should save quite a bit. I personally inspected the motorcycles. They do have fairly low mileage, so I don't see a lot of cost in major mechanical repairs or anything of that nature.
Yeah, nice-looking bikes.
Yeah, yeah, they're free. They're pretty good.
Free. Great. Thank you, Sergeant. Okay. Kind of unusual to wait. We have to get, it has to go through Department of Homeland Security to get them from Washoe County.
That's convoluted. I believe that's how Washoe County acquired them, through a Homeland Security grant. So, and there's a perpetuity thing for that. And another question is, I'm recalling that the sheriff did discuss with me in depth as we were working together on this, is this would, the intent would be on these, I believe, that only salaried employees of the department would be utilizing these vehicles, deputies, sergeants, those types. This was not intended as a tool for either the G Posse or the CERT program. Thank you.
Okay. Some action items. Is there any public comment? Any board comments?
I think it's
a good tobacco.
Yeah. Come on up.
Mr. Backus. Yeah, come on up.
Good morning, board members and Pat. And I don't know you, but you're for the DA. Regarding the horse problem we have here in Virginia City, it is just getting so out of hand. I've been destroyed in my yard. They've been up there last night. They tore my fence down. Now I got electric fences up.
Rich, do you plan on staying for the whole meeting? Do you plan on staying for this whole meeting?
Until I just have something to say.
Well, we usually do that at public comment.
Well, that's what you said, didn't you?
No, only for this item.
Huh?
Only for this item, the motorcycle.
We're talking about the horse.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I thought it was a public discussion.
No. We're talking about the motorcycle, sir.
All right, sir.
Okay.
I'll wait around.
Okay. All right. Any other public comment regarding the motorcycle issue? Okay, if I get a motion to approve.
I'll make a motion to accept receipt of two motorcycles from Washoe County free of charge to a Department of Homeland Security grant for the response and use in backcountry operations.
I got a second. Been moved and second to approve the accepting these two motorcycles. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 11. This is discussion and possible action. Consideration and possible action regarding resolution 17-475 setting Story County Sheriff's Office jail parking lot as a location for transaction of internet sales as required by AB 297. Mr. Loomis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Keith Loomis, District Attorney's Office. In the last legislative session, the legislature passed AB 297, which requires that the boards of county commissioners designate a location, a sheriff's office or a part thereof, as the location where internet transactions can take place. This particular resolution is modeled on the one that was submitted to the Reno City Council. This one differs in that in the Reno City Council resolution, they allowed the transactions to occur for 2 hours on Wednesday. The sheriff here is a little more flexible. He says they can occur out at the jail at any time. He has requested that the place that is designated be the parking lot of the jail.
I think this comes into play for the people who've been getting mugged and that on Craigslist transactions, right? They meet up with somebody and they get robbed or...
I assume that's the purpose.
Yeah, I think that's how it comes into play.
The sheriff also shared with me this is an ideal place. You don't have to talk this time, Sergeant, to come clear up. I'm looking. I think this is a place sometimes where child custody, you know, exchanges happen. The area is well lit, is under video camera and recording, so it's a very logical place to do this.
So a camera will be installed, or is already installed?
We already have a camera.
Okay, that's good, yeah, because I think that I read recently, I think Washoe County, and they've done this, they're making sure that it's going to be surveilled by video.
Yeah, I think our max cost on this may be a sign or two.
Right.
You know, it's a big parking lot, though. Is that area going to be marked?
I think it has to be, doesn't it, Keith?
It doesn't have to be. No, it just has to designate the site. I know that the Reno City Council or the chief of police for the Reno City Council did not identify a specific site or area within the site that is going to be available for the transactions. The sheriff has not asked for that.
From my experience as a justice of the peace when we were located down there, I think as any car that comes in or out of the lot, they can see, record the license plate.
And yeah.
It's kind of funny that some of the people that come in there to pick up their buddy out of jail ended up in jail themselves. I guess there's a warrant for them. So it's a pretty good system they have. It's been there for a while.
You just let the cat out of the bag. Yeah. Any public comment regarding this item? Hearing none, we get a motion to approve Resolution 17-475.
I'll make a motion to approve Resolution 17-475 and authorize the chairman to sign.
Second.
It's been moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Can we get an aye down there?
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. All right, we've already heard item 12. That brings us on to 13. Are you guys good to go, or does anybody need a break down here?
Good to go.
You guys are good to go? All right. All right, item number 13, this is discussion and possible action. This is consideration and possible action on approval of contract to purchase real property from Kimberly Neal, located at 10 South B Street, adjacent to the county courthouse, for approximately $355,000. Mr. Loomis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Keith Loomis, District Attorney's Office. This is a proposed contract for the purchase of the property just to the north here, which is proposed to be used for county offices and for parking. There was an appraisal done by Ms. Delahaye, who appraised the property at $355,000, and that was done as of August 5th, 2017. So we are proposing to pay that amount to acquire that property. There is a provision. County Manager Witten sent the proposed contract to Ms. Neal after this agenda item was prepared. And she has had the opportunity to review it. She has made a request for a change in the terms of the contract at number 5, and that presently escrow is set to close on or about December 15, 2017. She would like to have it close on or about November 1st, 2017, which I think we can do that. My only concern is that I have sent out a request for a preliminary title report to Tycor Title Company, which is going to be the escrow company. I have not received that preliminary title report back yet, and I would like to be able to review that before we close this transaction. And so what I am proposing is that we make an amendment to the language in paragraph 5 to say that escrow shall close on or about December 1st, 2017.
Nope. November.
November 1st, 2017.
I don't see it.
November.
And in no event prior to the county's opportunity to review the preliminary title report and offer objections.
And if I may add, I think logical questions are here why, and those are good questions. This house was on our radar screen when the Piper family, the Driggs, in this case, opted to sell it. It's adjacency to the courthouse. It's adjacency to Piper's. Seemed to make very logical sense. More importantly, what you don't realize until you start digging into Ms. Delahaye's appraisal and the plot maps and everything are the existing issues to the immediate north of the courthouse. Most of that land down there is owned by this property owner. So we had a major challenge this last winter when we had no courthouse parking whatsoever. And Kim was kind enough, you know, to go ahead and lease out back to us parking for, I think, about 4 months, as I recall. It could have been five while we finished up this parking lot. There are also problems with an adjacent commercial business that, you know, need to be addressed as to how we can either help them potentially, but that area down on B Street of her property is prime for parking. In fact, we have already had Far West sketch out a parking design for that property in conjunction with the lease that we did last year. The other item is why the house? And the answer would be very simple to see for anybody that went there and toured. And it's hard to see in a black and white appraisal. Be happy to provide the color appraisals pictures to anybody. But I do draw to their attention the footprint of the house. The footprint of the house basically divides the house in half. It's a 1,550 some odd square foot building approximately, built exactly the same year as this courthouse, 1876. So it's 141 years old. Again, I would invoke the same historic treasures, but more importantly with this, what is our plan? Our plan is walk through any office in this courthouse and you will see that we are bursting at the seams, essentially. Couple that with the fact that I've got two district court judges that are saying, get the justice of the peace in her own courtroom. She shouldn't be in here for whatever reasons. And while I'm not saying the justice of the peace is going to go up there, I'm not saying any one particular function is going to go up there. There is a pressing need caused by the district court judges over their concerns that the choices are at least seems to be crystallizing in the fact that we can either build a huge justice court facility at, I would guess again, oddly, $2 to $3 million, you know, or we can find alternative means. So we're assessing those. We've identified a couple of departments that might move. Those can certainly change. Ms. Neal would have occupancy for 90 days, you know, after our possession, and then we need to finalize, get in there, and really develop the plan. But there's room for, in my opinion, at least two functional work groups now working in the courthouse that moving them from the courthouse 100 feet to the north could make logical sense. Okay.
Thanks, Pat. Why don't we open up for public comment? Take board comments a little bit. No public comment? How about board comments?
I think it's an appropriate purchase. The facility we're talking about lies between the courthouse and the Piper's Opera House. There's been ongoing problems with parking and lot and access, and so that's one element. And the second element is we are running very tight on office space here in the courthouse. And this would be a logical move in that direction to relieve some of the pressure here in the courthouse and open up the parking and access between here and Piper. So I would think this would be an appropriate use of our county fund.
Jack?
Yeah, well, it's a pretty good approach to trying to get the Justice Court at another facility, you know, another room, facility, whatever it, well, and make room in this building for that.
And if I may add, again, we haven't made those decisions. You will be actively involved in those decisions. It just gives us additional opportunities. It could be any number of relocations. I mean, we once upon a time looked at, do we want to move community development up here, where they're closer to planning, closer to, you know, some police function. So there are a number of functions. I might also add, you know, that while we don't have an estimate yet, we do know that there will be additional expenses associated with this, ADA compliance.
Right.
We've been through the house. It's in very solid shape. But that doesn't mean we're not going to find things as our buildings and grounds crews get involved.
Just out of curiosity, is there access from A Street?
Not yet. That is certainly probably our most viable option if we can.
Before my days in government here, but this house next door slipped through the fingers of Story County when Kim Neal purchased it. Because when Louise Driggs, she or her daughter, Carol Marshall, when they sold the house, no one in the county government was aware of it, and so Kim ended up snatching it up because the county could have used this property several years ago. With that said, I've been through that house, and Kim Neal has put every free moment she's had into it. It's beautiful. Whoever ends up getting located in that building is going to have the most beautiful office in the county. It's magnificent what she's done, and you'll see her there on the weekends when she's up here too, taking care of the yard. And she's really tough. She's out there with a shovel and a pick and moving stuff around. So I think this is going to play nicely into the acquisition of the Opera House as well. If the school district approves that, when there are events going on, it's going to make the Union Street portion of it accessible for people to bring all their equipment up and offload it in the side entrance of the Opera House, as opposed to going through the building up the elevator up the staircase, which is very difficult when you're bringing up catering equipment or instruments and sound system things of that nature.
The other side of the building, the north side, is a hill climb.
I know. I mean, there's only one or two people in the county that complain that we already have enough parking in Virginia City, and I will argue that point every day.
Yeah.
But this gives us more parking for staff and for visitors. It gives us more office space, and I think it'll be a real asset to the county.
I imagine we'll want to move in and move the trash over to a more accessible place and out in the middle there, would be my thought.
Well, and there's two dumpsters now. Maybe we can use one dumpster now instead of two, since there's two different buildings. Yeah. Maybe there's a way to look at that.
Exactly. And this gives us full option. And I echo everything Chairman McBride has said. I got the opportunity to tour it about 6 weeks, 8 weeks ago. It is amazing what she's done. She also has a photo album of what she inherited or what she purchased, and it is incredible to see the talent and love that this lady has put into the house over the years.
Why don't I open up one more time for any public comment before we vote on this? Hearing none. Anything else from you, Mr. B.A.?
Nothing
okay.
More.
All right, then I can get a motion.
I move to approve the entry into the contract for the purchase of real property belonging to Kimberly Neal and authorize the chairman to sign.
Could I
second the motion?
Can I make an addition to that motion?
Yeah. No.
Paragraph 5 will be amended to provide that the escrow will close on or about November 1st, 2017, but in no event prior to the county's opportunity to review the preliminary title report and offer exceptions.
Okay.
Would you accept that as an amendment to your motion?
Yes, we'll accept that statement into the motion. That's on or about November 1st?
Yes.
Okay. I'll second the amended motion.
Very good. It's been moved and seconded to approve this motion with the amendment by the district attorney. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Very good. I believe this brings us down to item 17. Is that right?
Yes,
okay,
sir.
Thank you. Item 17, discussion of possible action. This is modification to the Reno Tahoe Industrial Center, LLC. Story County Development Agreement by amending the development agreement master plan site to include certain parcels located within an area previously transferred from Washoe County to Story County in 2014. The subsequent parcels include APN 005-121-01, 005-121-02, 005-121-03, let me finish it then. 005-121-04 and 005-121-05. Commissioner Gilman.
Mr. Chairman, as I hold a pecuniary interest in the property that is the subject of this agenda item, I'm going to hereby recuse and join the audience.
Thank you, Commissioner Gilman. Mr. Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioners Osborne, for the record. What we have in front of us is really a request to modify the development agreement between Tri-Center and Story County to include five parcels, approximately 225 acres total. All of the parcels are zoned industrial commercial. What we're talking about is land in 2014 that was transferred from Washoe County to Story County down by Patrick on the Truckee River and the Interstate 80 corridor. Not all of that land, because some of that land is owned by Union Pacific, Nature Conservancy, and others. Only the land owned by Tri-Center and zoned IEC is subject to this request. It is compliant with the development agreement and the provisions for it on how you annex property into the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. It is I-zoned, which is a requirement of the development agreement, and it's contiguous to the Tri-Park. The conditions of this, TRI has agreed not to allow medical marijuana or marijuana uses on this land. TRI has also agreed to include that restriction to the entire Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. TRI has also agreed not to allow, without special use permit, outdoor storage, junkyards, and auction facilities that have outdoor storage associated with them, including for the entire park. And really the rest of it is, this is consistent with the master plan and economic development and providing for commercial uses and commercial industrial uses like truck stops, hotels, casinos, large commercial users that could help benefit Story County as a whole and bring business to Tri-Center.
Very good. Thank you, Austin. Take public comment.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Again, Sam Toll from Gold Hill. I'm struck by the struthious approach that the county seems to have towards a substance which for years and years and years, thanks to J. Edgar Hoover and Mr. Azinger, was illegal, that the Story County residents and residents of the state of Nevada have made legal. In a facility that generates...
Mr. Toller, are we going to talk about the annexation? Bringing...
I heard the modification of marijuana.
Well, that'll be on the next item.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That'll be on the next item.
Would you like me to get it out of the way now?
Not really.
Okay, I'll come back.
Because we're not on that. Because we're not on that.
Thank you.
Any other public comment? These subject parcels... To go ahead and be transferred into the industrial park. Is this all of the land that TRI owns in the 600 acres that was transferred from Washington County to Story County?
It's my understanding, yes, all the parcels that are on the Tri Center in that area.
So all of the land that they own is going in. The exemption is the subconservancy and the railroad.
Going to
stay out.
Yeah, that's correct. And okay. There's some agriculture zone land there, natural resources zoning, and public zoning for the railroad. Those not only are not subject to the annexation, they wouldn't be allowed to be.
Counts out, Mr. Chairman, to be somewhere in the ballpark of about 210 to 215 acres.
Okay, a little over the one third of the annexation on Washoe County properties, which is good. I mean, this was a legislation that we supported two legislatures ago, I believe.
Or three, I can't remember.
I think it was 272.
Yeah. So that's good because now we know that it could be developed. It would never be developed if it stayed in Washoe County. So.
And Commissioner Gilman is accused, but I happen to know because I've been working with Lance as the developer and Chris There are already people chomping at the bit for these areas with some very exciting revenue-generating opportunities. So.
Right off the interstate, it's prime real estate, and we're happy that Washoe County agreed to transfer to Story County. Okay, once again, I'll open it for public comment. Ms. Bard.
Nicole Bard, Story County resident. Just to clarify, our master plan isn't being altered to accommodate this annexation, is it?
To my knowledge, no, it's not.
Just clarify.
No, there's no changes to the master plan occurring. The master plan update we did in 2016 does discuss and support this type of matter.
Okay, so it's being brought into the existing master plan stipulations.
No, I wouldn't really see there's any change occurring to the master plan. The master plan describes land in the county, what should happen to that land. This is area that happens to be in and around Tri-Center that the master plan says should be used for industrial, commercial, and those sorts of uses. So there's absolutely no modification whatsoever happening to the master plan.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Ms. Wood Matthews?
Karen Woodmansey, Comstock Chronicle. My question is this property that is now owned by Story County going to then be owned by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center? That's no change at all?
It's not owned by Story County.
Okay.
It's land that was transferred from Washoe County into Story County, but it's still privately owned property.
Still privately owned property.
Yes.
So it'll just be included in the center?
It'll be included in the industrial park.
Okay. The second question is, would the infrastructure agreement now apply to that property? The agreement that was made back in the 90s for the reimbursement they'll put in the infrastructure and then we repay them out of the proceeds from it, is that going to be part
I'll
of this?
I'll let Pat Wade answer that.
Okay. That answer is yes.
Yes.
We routinely do this as we bring in other areas of Tri into it. So, yes.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Mr. Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Chris Thompson, TRI Project Manager. A little more information for Ms. Woodmansey. The property was originally purchased, I believe, as part of the McCarran Ranch years ago, and it was, as in Washoe County, being north of the river, our principals and our exclusive broker could not move an inch in our colleague county. It's too difficult to work with them, and so we appreciate Story County's efforts in getting this property moved into Story County. And this is an example of how fast this county moves, and we have no doubt that this property is going to generate a lot of good retail business. The county manager's vision is perhaps for RV sales or casinos or car lots, which would generate a high amount of sales tax in this county, which would be very good, and I know our folks are totally on board with that plan. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Ms. Thompson. Any other public comment?
I guess just so the record's clear, Chris's comments, I don't intend to enter into a debate, but I want to be very clear that during the process of acquiring agreement to transfer these lands into Washoe County was very cooperative, and Washoe County was very supportive, so I want the county to be able to state that, and also, as I recall, and I could be wrong, Chris, we can talk about this offline, there were actually at the time some statutory issues with the General Improvement District. It would have been almost cost prohibitive, or certainly much more costly to develop a whole other system of utility services over on that side of the county. So I won't argue Chris's statement at all. I just want the record to reflect that Washoe, through John Slaughter, and the commission was very cooperative when the day was done.
Okay.
Commissioner McGuffey.
Yes. Of course, I just want to kind of, I've said this before and I want to say it again, that my biggest concern out there is the river. And I think, and I'm sure Commissioner Gilman has heard my words before, that we, whatever they do out there, I don't want it to turn into like this, what happened to the river in Sparks, where they started backing companies up there to the river, and that was their backyard, and they got all kinds of equipment stored there. And I like to keep, you know, hopefully they have a vision of keeping that as a green belt and kind of a maybe even a recreational area. So I'll just leave it at that. Thank you.
Thanks.
If you'd like, I can respond to that briefly. The property, Commissioner Guffey, you're absolutely right. And the properties that the Nature Conservancy manages is just for that purpose. And they have acquired those river frontage properties in that riparian area just for the purpose of maintaining that existing natural environment. And that would always maintain it.
Thank you, Mr. Osborne.
Good job.
All right. Anyone else? All right, and with that said, Commissioner McGuffey, if I can get a motion.
Okay. In accordance with the recommendations by staff, I, Commissioner Jack McGuffey, motion to approve modification to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, LLC, Story County Development Agreement by amending the Development Agreement Master Site Plan to include APN numbers 005-121-01, 005-121-02, 005-12103, 005-12104, and 005-12105 as legally described in Exhibit A enclosed herewith.
Okay. I'll second your motion. It's been moved and second to amend the development agreement to include these sites. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, while 18 is a component of this, if you will, our applicant for items 27 and 28 has just jetted in here from her lunch, so it would be staff's recommendation to please move 27 and 28 to now.
Very good. Any objections to moving 27 and 28 up?
No. But I will advise that because of my involvement with the Collins Construction, who's been a part of which this applicant is a client, I'll have to recuse myself from both items.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner McGuffey. All righty. Moving along now to item number 27. This is discussion and possible action. This is 2017-040, road abandonment. The applicants are requesting an abandonment of a portion of O Street. The applicant requests that the eastern 4 feet of O Street along the property line of lot 9A, block 116 of Virginia City, for a distance of 75 linear feet, be abandoned to accommodate proposed construction of a garage. The property is located at 97 South O Street, the northeast corner of O Street and Taylor Street, Virginia City, Story County, Nevada, and having assessor's parcel number APN 001-255-02. Kathy, how are you today?
Hi. I'm Kathy Canfield with the Planning Department, for the record. Yes, this is an abandonment of a portion of O Street. It's on the northeast corner of O Street and Taylor. It's for an abandonment of 4 feet for a linear distance of 75 feet, which is along the property line. The request is being made because of a mistake that was made by both the applicant and Story County. A building permit was issued to construct a two-car garage addition on an existing residence. The measurements and the drawings were made from the wrong place. And so after the garage foundation was put in, it was discovered that the garage was approximately 3 feet into the right-of-way. The applicant has submitted this request as a way to resolve that encroachment. The abandonment itself requires some additional noticing beyond what we would typically do for a project. This was noticed in the newspaper. Registered mail was sent to the adjacent property owners, immediate adjacent property owners, and then noticing was also sent to NV Energy and Comstock Cable. That's all required by NRS. We received a couple comments. We received one from a Miss Elaine Young, who lives further south down O Street. Originally, she had said she opposed the abandonment and the variance that's associated with this. She didn't really give a reason why. We had contacted her with our email to let her know that we'd received her comment and sent her the staff report. When people are getting the notices, they're getting a little postcard. They're not getting the whole staff report that explains what the project is. So we went ahead and forwarded that to her. We didn't hear anything from her again before the Planning Commission or at the Planning Commission. After that, she responded just with a request of what happened at the Planning Commission, and so we had updated her on that and told her she was more than welcome to come today if she had. We also received a comment from Ron Gallagher, who lives directly across the street, and he had no objection to the project. We also had, at the Planning Commission meeting, we had two other general public people that came and spoke in support of the abandonment. The zoning code, as far as streets go, requires a minimum of a 50-foot right-of-way and a 24-width travelway. At this location, the right-of-way is actually 60 feet wide, and the paved travelway is actually 32 feet wide. So even with this abandonment, if it's approved, we're still meeting our general provisions of our zoning code. The piece that's being abandoned, if it's approved to be abandoned, we're requiring that be consolidated into the adjacent lot so that it doesn't become its own strip of own some little tiny parcel, that it's becoming incorporated into the other lot. There's no known utilities in this area. The NV Energy poles are across the street. That doesn't impact any of the sewer project that's happening. Because the foundation is actually already in, they did the call before you dig. There were no utilities, and they didn't encounter anything when they were putting in that foundation. That, I think, hits most of the highlights. I know that there was some question about retaining an easement on that property. The applicant, we've talked to the applicant about that, and she has no objection to doing that. So, okay. And she's here today, too.
Do you have any questions?
I don't have any questions on this building.
Okay, we open it for public comment. No public comment? Okay. Granting that road abandonments, in an instance like this, sometimes when there's not going to be any use on a street, it's a no-brainer, you just go ahead and do it. This is going to be, I think, the exception instead of the rule on this, because there were errors made by county staff and by the property owner. So it's not going to go ahead and encroach on any of the neighbor's property. So I don't see any problem with it. It's just one of those things. You said the property owner has agreed to an easement in case any future utilities could be placed on the property. So.
Thank you, Mr. Commissioners. Chairman Austin Osborne. I just want to reiterate and scaffold what you had said about there was some discussion at the Planning Commission. You know, will this cause a precedent? You know, we allow one to happen, that means the next one, the next one, the next one will happen. And it was discussed. An inspector went down, made a measurement that was incorrect. There were some plan issues that came in. It's not the applicant's fault. You know, they shouldn't have to suffer. They went ahead and started building, put everything in place, and then it was brought to our attention. We go down and say, oh boy, we got a problem here. Fortunately, it wasn't a massive problem. We have made changes to workflow and different structures that will assure this won't happen again.
Yeah, thank you. Good. Yeah, because we don't want to create a hardship to the homeowner. Sorry. Okay. All right. Once again, any other public comments? All right, if there's no objections, I'll ask Kathy to go ahead and read the findings of fact for the approval of this. Okay. Ms. Cantwell.
The applicant requests an abandonment of a portion of O Street. The applicant requests that the eastern 4 feet of O Street along the property line of Lot 9A block 116 of Virginia City for a distance of 75 linear feet be abandoned to accommodate proposed construction of a garage. The property is located at 97 South O Street, the northeast corner of O Street and Taylor Street, Virginia City, Story County, Nevada, and having assessor's parcel number APN 001-25502. The abandonment complies with NRS 278.480 relating to abandonment of a street or easement. The abandonment complies with federal, state, and county regulations pertaining to the vacation or abandonment of streets or easements, including NRS 278.240. The abandonment will not impose substantial adverse impacts or safety hazards on the abutting properties or the surrounding vicinity. The abandonment will not cause the public to be materially injured by the proposed abandonment. The conditions of approval for the requested abandonment do not conflict with the minimum requirements in Story County Code, Chapter 17.12.090, General Provisions, Access and Rights of Way, or any other federal, state, or county regulations.
Great. Thank you. Commissioner Gilman, can I get a motion to approve this?
Yes, sir. In accordance with the recommendation by staff and the Planning Commission, the findings under Section 3.A of the staff report, and in compliance with all conditions of approval, I, Lance Gilman, move to approve an abandonment of the eastern 4 feet of O Street along the property line of Lot 9A, Block 116 of Virginia City, for a distance of 75 linear feet, and the area of abandonment to be combined with the property located at 97 South O Street, the northeast corner of O Street and Taylor Street, Virginia City, Story County, Nevada, having assessor parcel number APN 001-25502.
Okay. I think, Commissioner Gilman, I'm going to have to go ahead and add to that an amendment to this as well. Since the homeowner, property owner, has agreed to easement on this, so let me read this into it. Additionally, the final map must delineate a four-foot wide easement along the west boundary of the adjusted parcel, i.e., over the street abandonment area, which shall be exclusive for above-ground hanging fiber optic telephone, cable, and television utilities. The portion of the residential/garage structure located within this easement area must not exceed 20 feet in height in order to not conflict with overhead hanging utilities. The easement area must not allow utility poles, boxes, or other ground-mounted apparatus that would conflict with the residential structure built thereon. The reason for that is those utilities don't occur there currently, but if they were to occur there in the future, we would have to go back to the property owner and do some, you know, do it at that time. So yeah. It's easier to do it up front right now than it would then. Are you good with that, Deputy DA?
I am.
Okay.
I've made my motion.
All right. And with this inclusion, I'll second your motion. It's moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Now we'll move on to the second part of this, which is item 28, discussion of possible action, variance 2017-041. The applicants are requesting a variance to the side and yard setback for the construction of a one-story garage attached to the existing residence. The applicant's request, the side yard setback reduced from the required 10 feet to the proposed 1 foot. The property is located at 97 South O Street, Virginia City, Story County, Nevada, assessor's parcel number APN 001-255-02.
Okay, again, Chairman, I'll have to recuse myself from this item as because of my affiliation with College Construction and this being their customer.
Very good. Thank you, Commissioner McGuffey. Kathy?
This is a request for a variance to the garage for that abandonment application we were just talking about. They've requested a setback of 1 foot from the property line. Typically for R1 zoning, this requires a 10-foot setback from the property line. With the abandoned 4 feet, they're asking for 1 foot separation. That difference is the 1 foot is the garage eave that overhangs, so no part of the garage would overhang into the right-of-way. The when constructed, the actual garage will be 13 feet from the edge of the pavement to the wall of the garage. So that, and that's built on the existing foundation as it's constructed today.
Very good. Yeah. Well, one ties into the other. So here we go. Okay, we can open up for public comment. All right. Board comments?
I probably should mention also, originally we did have the two comments, one from Elaine Young with her opposition to it, and one from Ron Gallagher with his support of it.
And at the Planning Commission meeting, you did have verbal testimony in favor of this as well.
Yes.
So, okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners Austin and Osborne. I do think it's important to mention here, I did at the Planning Commission as well, we've been in 6, 7, 8 months or so in updating the zoning ordinance, and part of those updates include loosening up restrictions for people building garages and backyards in Virginia City on our 50 by 100 lots, rather than going through the variance process and all that. I think it's important to note that what's occurring here is at least somewhat consistent with what the public has been accepting so far in that ordinance update. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Austin. Okay. No objections. I'll ask Kathy to go ahead and read findings of fact for the approval on this.
Yes, sir.
All right.
The applicants are requesting a variance 2017-041, to the side yard setback for the construction of a one-story garage attached to the existing residence. The applicants are requesting the side yard setback be reduced from the required 10 feet to the proposed 1 foot. The property is located at 97 South O Street, Virginia City, Story County, Nevada. Assessor's parcel number, APN 001-25502. An abandonment of 4 feet by 75 feet length of the west property line, abandonment filed 2017-040, has been approved for the applicant, which permits this variance application to proceed. Because of errors made on submitted plans and measurements at the site, the granting of the variance resolves the inadvertent construction of a garage foundation encroaching onto public right-of-way without requiring the removal of the constructed foundation. The subject property is located within R1 residential zoning with an existing residence as a primary use and the proposed garage as an attached allowed accessory use. That the granting of the variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of the substantial property rights of the applicant. The Story County Public Works Department reviewed the site and determined that no above-ground or below-ground public utilities exist in the area subject to the variance. That the granting of the variance will not, under the circumstances of the particular case, adversely affect to a material degree the health or safety of persons residing or working in the area of the subject property and will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to property or improvements in the area of the subject property. The proposed variance is in compliance with all federal, Nevada, state, and Story County regulations. The proposed variance is in compliance with Story County Code 17.03.140 variances and 17.16 R1 residential zones when all conditions of approval are met. The proposed variance is in compliance with and supports the goals, objectives, and policies of the 2016 Story County Master Plan.
Thank you, Ms. Hackler. All right. Commissioner Gilman? Get a motion.
In accordance with the recommendation by staff and the Planning Commission, the findings of fact under Section 3.8 of this report and other findings deemed appropriate by the Board of County Commissioners and in compliance with the conditions of approval, I, Lance Gilman, County Commissioner, move to approve variance 2017-041 to reduce the side yard setback from the required 10 feet to the proposed 1 foot. The property is located at 97 South O Street, Virginia City, Story County, Nevada. Assessor parcel number, APN 001-25502.
I'll second your motion. It's been moved and seconded to approve variance number 2017-041. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Great. Good luck with your new garage, Ms. Burns. Okay, now we're going to go on to item number 18. This is discussion, possible action, modification to the Reno Tahoe Industrial Center, LLC, Story County Development Agreement in accordance with Section 5.2 by accepting and approving the application of the amendments made by, made to Title 17 of the Story County Code set forth in Story County Ordinance 17-275, see Enclosure B, within the Reno Tahoe Industrial Center. Amendments which prohibit the use of land within the Reno Tahoe Industrial Center as marijuana cultivation facility, as marijuana testing facility, as a marijuana manufacturing facility, as a marijuana distributor, as a retail marijuana store, or as a facility from which the facility or organization from which a person may obtain marijuana and marijuana-related products.
Mr. Chairman, I may, I have a pecuniary interest in the property that is the subject of this agenda item, so I'm going to hereby recuse and address the audience.
Thank you, Commissioner Gilman. Mr. Osborne, continue.
All right, Mr. Commissioner, Mr. Chairman, Austin Osborne for the record. Earlier this year, this board had approved Ordinance Number 275, prohibiting all of the marijuana uses that you just read in the agenda language. What the request here under the development agreement provisions is just for Tri-Center or Tahoe Reno Industrial Center to accept those restrictions within the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center.
Very good. So, why don't we go ahead and we can open up for public comment. I know Mr. Cole is chomping at the bit.
Thank you, Chairman McBride. Sam Toll from Gold Hill. An interesting observation. In the gold country, in the turn of the century, the substance that you're referring to as marijuana was sold over the counters in every pharmacy as cannabis sativa, cannabis indica, and hashish. While there certainly were problems, it wasn't illegal and it didn't require a doctor's prescription. In 1937, Harry Aislinger introduced the term marijuana to the lexicon, and he did so as an effort to scare folks into thinking that folks of color would be after their daughters. Anybody who's watched Reefer Madness can get highly entertained about that. The observation I'd like to make here is that we have an industrial center which, over the course of this last year, was responsible for $1.6 billion of taxable sales. Most of those taxes were abated, and in fact, if you look at the percentage that we're expected to get from the sale, it's probably less than 2.0025, about 25 thousandths of a percent of that tax revenue. What you're doing is you're turning your back on an industry who welcomes triple taxation. This is an industry that is taxed both at the wholesale level and with a special excise tax and then with a sales tax. And so by doing so, again, you know, I use the term struthious to describe the approach that Story County has. I think it would warm Cary Nation's heart to see the direction that you guys are going. And I think that, again, it's contrary to both what the voters in the state of Nevada and the voters here in Story County made clear was their intent with Question 2 in November 2016. I think you guys are holding on to the past and not looking forward, and it's very disappointing in light of the fact that we are really not getting much in the way of tax revenue from the TRI complex. Thank you.
Thank you. Just for public information, marijuana is still deemed by the federal government as a Schedule 1 drug. There's a federal prohibition on it. I've stated it many times in these meetings in here that we've got a very good working relationship with the federal government, especially with Department of Agriculture, Rural Development, to go ahead and help fund our fire engines, our ambulances, our wastewater treatment plant, our wastewater collection service. I would hate to wake up some morning and find out that someone from the federal government was knocking on our door because we allow this type of activity to go on and say that they're going to revoke these loans that want us to pay back our grants because we're disobeying federal law. And going back to Sam Toll's mention about how marijuana used to be sold over the counter, I believe that that opium did too, and so did morphine, and so did cocaine. They were all sold over the counter, and they're no longer sold over the counter either. So you have to go to your local drug dealer to get those. And so with that, I don't want to go ahead and spit in the eye of the federal government when they're there to help us right now. Should they go ahead and relax their prohibition in the future is something that we can go ahead and look at again. But I'm thinking that these Fortune 500 companies that are in the industrial park right now, I don't think they want a pot shop set up right next to where they're doing business. I just don't. I don't think that's why they're out there. They're out there because we've got a very good reputation, and I think they want it kept clean like that. So anyway, but thanks for your comments. I'll open up for any more public comment.
May I, Mr. Chair? You want to go? Okay, that's fine.
Sure. Luis?
Yeah.
Pena?
Mm-hmm.
Luis Pena? It takes me two or three tries to get used to, you know, new faces in the crowd.
You came all the way up here for that?
Mm-hmm. Luis Pena, I live in Lockwood, they're in the River District, and this particular one is very much a part of what goes on. I pray you don't pass something that would be so harmful for the people on the River District. And putting marijuana or allowing it there, whether it's the distribution center, I don't care, any part of it, I would say is putting every one of us in the River District at a disadvantage. We already have problems with the traffic, although Lance is right. I've seen a decrease in traffic. It's been a little bit easier to get on interstate now that USA Parkway is open. But to allow marijuana distribution center selling it, any part of that within the industrial park, I can't imagine why you would do that. We, as residents on the River District, already have to deal with these idiots that drive out there, which, you know, some of them live in my community as well. But the traffic's already horrendous, and to think that they could buy marijuana out there and have to drive somewhere to go home is scary. I don't care whether it was passed or not. I do believe the federal government, like you said, is still saying it's illegal. And I would love to see Story County not allow it out there in the industrial park. I think we would end up paying for it in the long run. And if nothing else, by having to have more sheriff's deputies out in the tri-area if you allowed something like that to come in. It's been very well documented in Washoe County, in Colorado especially. They make it very well known. They made a mistake by allowing marijuana to be sold like that. There's been more accidents. They've had more problems. So please, you're in the right direction. Don't allow it in the front out of the TRI. I think the people of the River District would suffer considerably more than even the ones up here. So thank you.
Thanks for your comments. Mr. Thompson, did you have your hand up? Any other public comment? Okay. You wanted to weigh in?
Yes, please, if I may. To kind of further to Ms. Pena's point, this was the weakest link in the chain. There is an agreement in place with the owners of the industrial park that says subsequent laws that are passed don't necessarily pertain to us unless we agree to it at the county level. It's a protection mechanism that makes that is a key ingredient as to why some of these businesses that you mentioned pick TRI specifically. You know, it's locked in, if you will. That doesn't mean that the developer doesn't agree to things down the road. I want to thank Lance Gilman Broker. I want to thank Chris Thompson from TRI, and I want to thank Roger Norman, because these two appear in the order that they appear on purpose.
When Tri came to us and said, we'd really like to now bring in these 200 some odd acres into the developer agreement and park, you know, my initial reaction was sure. But my subsequent reaction was, well, wait a minute, I want something for this. So this weak link we put out on Lance's plate, on Chris's plate, on Roger's plate, and they jumped at it and said, we're on board. So this shores up the only place now where either medicinal or marijuana can be manufactured, grown, sold. I'm missing one. But further to the point, I also want to remind everybody something I learned when I was in NACO at Winnemucca a few weeks ago and attended a workshop on marijuana and its impacts on our residents and on the county. At least at this point, to the best of my knowledge, and it may have changed since then, there are 15 rural counties. Forget what goes on in Washoe and Clark. There are 15 rural counties, and no rural counties have yet enacted recreational marijuana, to the best of my knowledge. So that tells you something powerful. And for those that want to show doomsday and draconianism, this is still, I hate to even tell people and give them ideas, but the use of marijuana in this county is still allowed under the statutes. We cannot eliminate that, but that is very restricted to the privacy of your own home, not in public and not in other areas. And I will warn the public that over the next probably 2 to 3 months, as soon as Austin and Kathy have time, we probably will see some additional shoring up of a few things here that we're allowed to do under the laws that exist. So thank you for your comments.
Mr. Thompson?
Chris Thompson, Tallarino Industrial Center Project Manager. Mr. Witten's exactly right. One other thing that came up is that it had been agreed by all parties back in the day that the industrial park must comply with all federal law. And so the issue came up is that if we allowed this in violation, seemingly, of the development agreement, arguably, everybody under the sun could come in and object and come after us and come after the county. And that was an issue. Even more important than that, being a day-to-day person who deals with similar issues that are going to be prevented by this ruling here today. And I know this is important to you, Mr. Chairman, that we support you all the way on this one. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Anyone else? Good to go? Okay. Is there a motion, Jack?
Okay. In accordance with the recommendation by staff, I, Commissioner Jack McGuffey, motion to approve modification to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, LLC, Story County Development Agreement in accordance with Section 5.2 by accepting and approving the application of the amendments made to Title 17 of the Story County Code set forth in Story County Ordinance 17-275 within the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. Amendments prohibiting the use of land within the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center as a marijuana cultivation facility, as a marijuana testing facility, as a marijuana manufacturing facility, as a marijuana distributor, and as a retail manufacturer, as a retail marijuana store, or as a facility from which a facility or organization from which a person may obtain marijuana and marijuana-related products.
Very good. I'll second your motion. Move and second it. Do you approve this? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Next up is going to be item number 19, discussion of possible action. It's the workshop related to property tax relief. Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My apologies for not being at the first workshop. I was
on an unsuccessful elk trip with my friend Raleigh Hess up near the Matterhorn Mountain, about 10,000 feet up.
Yeah.
I probably would have wished to had attended this thing. I don't know what happened with the hunt, but I think they got a whiff of us and went to Idaho. The property tax relief, and I was briefed by County Manager Witten as to the issues that we have, the possible remedies that we have. And for the most part, we're looking at, you know, what type of relief can we get. And I know that we've talked about rate reductions in the personal real property tax. We've looked at rebates, which both of those apply to ad valorem. We've looked at utility fees, gas tax, for example. We're looking at all kinds of those things for which there can be some kind of relief for Story County residents. So in addition to that, looking at all of those areas, we also have to look at the vehicle that we need for implementation. Now, that vehicle, quite frankly, starts with the Department of Taxation. We can't do anything with that. We have discussions with the Department of Taxation as to what our procedures may be, how we may go about this. And we also have some professional contractors that used to work for the Department of Taxation that are giving us some ideas as to, you know, on any one of these ideas, what the vehicle is to get this implemented. And, of course, we have our legal responsibility, which is Keith and his crew, as to whether or not it's legally possible to do that. So from where you were the first meeting to where we are now, this is a continuation. We're just trying to find a way to get some leeway, to get some groundwork, to get some ideas out so that we can possibly go forward.
So it sounds like we're at a point where we're still researching and not at a dead end necessarily, but still looking forward as to how we might accomplish something along these lines.
The property tax relief is I think, as Mr. Witt mentioned before, it's all going to be, as when we talk about ad valorem, it's all going to be on a percentage of what was originally put in, which means that businesses put in probably 65%. They will get 65% of that back. Centrally assessed is about 22%, so that's obviously Sierra Pacific Power. And so the residents and everybody else would share about 13%. We're looking for a way where that doesn't happen. We haven't found anything where that. We tried that briefly with gas tax, but we can't reduce gas tax with that fuel without reducing diesel. So we're coming to roadblocks every now and then, but we're still looking at those areas. Utility fees, quite frankly, are low enough now. I mean, it won't do us any good, but it still will accommodate those people who pay the most on their bills. So, I mean, we're going down that road. We're trying to figure out what, number one, what we can do legally to do this. And the other thing is, now that we have a legal type of doing this, number one, will the Department of Taxation allow it? Or what additional things are we going to do that? And that's kind of where we sit right now.
The point of my discussion on this, and this has been ongoing with me for a number of years, is our county is moving toward incredible prosperity. And that is growing by the month and by the year and by the companies that we're bringing in and the success at TRI. And it's my wish that we come up with a vehicle that allows our residents to participate in the county's successes financially. We're buying buildings. We're giving programs out for employees. We're expanding our departments. We're spending, from this county administrative side, a lot of money. And the money is flowing into Story County. And I'm going to be severely disappointed if we don't come up with a vehicle. We have a very small population in Story County. You have 3,800 people. And I'm going to be extremely disappointed if we can't come up with a vehicle to reward them for the waiting and the anticipation that I believe they deserve at sharing in our successes. And that's where I stand on this.
I agree with that.
And I fully agree with that analogy. I understand because there's been discussion with various parties here that, you know, to lower, you say lower taxes, that's hard to do too. But then it's even harder to raise taxes when you go down the road and things change. And, of course, we've been advised that if you're going to do that, make sure you don't need tax dollars for 100 years because you'll never get it back. Now, we've talked about that, and then we moved on to looking into rebates. That's another big ballpark. How have we considered doing something like Alaska has did with their pipeline? You know, once a year, every resident gets a check. Now, I don't know if corporations get a check. I don't know the structure of that, but there must be some kind of mechanism to maybe trigger that. I don't know. But I agree with Mr. Gilman that, you know, there was promises made back in 2002. Yeah. And so we want to fulfill those promises.
May I? Mm-hmm. Jump in.
You just gave the best summary I think any of us could have given, Commissioner McGuffey. Our problem is finding meaningful relief for people. You know, if you lower the tax rate, the big boys are going to win. You know, they're going to see it.
Correct.
And you're right. We have been told, don't plan on needing any money for a long, long time if you roll that rate back because of the way the abatements and caps and formulas work in. The rebate model that we've been pursuing now, kind of the same thing. It would be a rebate where the big companies would benefit most, and the average taxpayer, the average resident, if you will, would see minimal, if hardly any relief, you know, 50 cents a buck, $2, you know.
It exactly.
Wouldn't ring any bells, wouldn't be right. So we're focused on still trying to find your suggestion is fascinating. I happen to have a couple of friends up in Alaska that I visited, and one of them, I'm pretty sure, had just gotten her annual pipeline check. So we'll pursue that. I find that to be if we could give proportionally, say, to every improved property owner the same amount.
Yeah.
You know, you got it. You know, if we could do it for residential, that would be awesome, because then I think we're being the spirit of what Commissioner right. Gilman said is we're prospering and we need to get it back to the residents. We need to deliver on what we've said. We obviously are struggling to find a legal way to do it right now, but we are committed to never give up. But I love your idea.
I suppose the other thought that I have, that just food for thought for discussion, since it's a it's a workshop. But I believe this county spends somewhere in the neighborhood of 80 to 85% of her income in union support. And that's all the unions. That's sheriff, that's fire, that's community unions. And they share in our growth in an aggressive way. You know, they get automatic payroll increases to the extent of 5% a year. There are a lot of guarantees that come through all of that. And so, as a county, if we're sitting and we're supporting our community administrative folks and payroll folks in our unions to that extent, I again reiterate, I really believe that the most important faction in our county around us today are our voters, our residents, the people that are paying the way for all of this that we're doing. And so, you know, I reiterate, I would hope that we can come up with a reasonable outcome on something like this.
And I guess just to briefly reply, and I want to be very, very careful because, you know, you collectively as a board, staff collectively, bargains, contracts, you know, the Fair Labor Bargaining Practices and those types of statutes and federal regulations are touchy, so I'm not going to comment on that part. I will say we as staff, and I applaud and appreciate that you as a board are definitely focused on, you know, trying to find meaningful relief to people that work.
Well, and those numbers aren't just the unions. That's all of us that are employed in the county, us on this board as well. So we're all county employees, so we're all part of that percentage of our budget that goes to salaries and benefits. As time goes on, we get closer to abated taxes, to those expirations, and new companies that come on board that don't get abated. As we increase the tax base, we will get closer to some number because, you know, we all know that when the Tesla abatements expire, there's going to be what could be considered a windfall of revenue. And of course, when we do a tax rollback on that, Tesla is going to be the biggest winner in the room because they pay the most taxes at that point. They're going to get the biggest tax benefit. But everybody should be able to get a benefit once these abatements expire. So, because abatements don't last forever, you know. And we have new companies that are coming on board out there every year. So.
The other thought I'd share, Marshall, along those lines is I'm not absolutely certain, but I believe there's about 150 companies out there today. And some of the companies have received incentives, but I think only the two of the companies out there today have received abatements of their taxes. And so if you'll take a Tesla and they have a lot of abatements, and then you take somebody like Switch and they had a few abatements, and then you take Google and they don't want any abatements. They want to be a good corporate citizen. They'll probably put some money into Pipers. So there's a mix out there, but I think of all the companies that are in TRI, actual abated taxes, there are only two. So, you know, there's a strong mix of income coming
sure.
in for us.
Because we look at the course of time from the inception of the park into where we are today. Back then we had three volunteer fire departments, one in Virginia City, the Highlands, and the River. Now we've got paid fire departments with paramedic service. So you go from where it only costs a small amount in the budget each year to maintain your fire services. Now it's a good portion of it. It's like it's over $4 million a year out of that one department because those are the services that residents demand these days. They want fire paramedic service. And so you'll buy a new fire engine that costs $1 million for a fire engine. It's nuts. They used to cost 80 grand, you know. So it's a cost of doing business, you know. The size of our small government, and you talked about the pay increases and stuff like that, and healthcare costs go up. I think we do a pretty good job of keeping our budget under wraps with what we've got to work with so far. And other counties are struggling. You look at some of the southern Nevada counties that are just starving to death. They don't even have a budget, basically, down there. People go to, they do a lot on their own dime because their government has no money to spare. But we're very fortunate here, and I think our residents are extremely well taken care of. You look at the tax rate that we have in the county. You know, we're not near our cap and stuff like that. Look what they keep doing in Washoe and Clark County. They just keep taxing higher and higher and higher. We're able to maintain a very moderate tax rate for the county. So,
I support that aggressively. I think that the county administrative group has done a great job of holding the cost down. On costs within the county to the very best of their ability. But the other side of that coin is there's excess revenues growing, and excess revenue is going to be available. And it would be nice now to start planning on how we're going to have everybody in the loop as opposed to the administration.
I agree with you. Yeah. Okay, this is a discussion and possible action, so we'll open up to public comment. So.
Just for the record, before Mr. Tolan speaks, we may have structured this wrong, but we intend for public comment. That's what workshops are for. I don't think neither the comptroller or myself anticipated any real action today other than dialogue or discussion.
Okay, Mr. Cole.
Thank you, Commissioners. Sam Toll for the record. Mr. Gallagher, do you have a feel for what amount of money has been delivered to us in the forms of abated taxes on fiscal year 16-17? Are those numbers finalized and back to you yet?
To my recollection, the abated taxes for 17-18 are about $10 million.
So that's we'll receive $8 to $10 million next year from abated taxes. Is that right?
It's ongoing abatements. It was $6 million the year before, and it seems to go up with certain things now. Some of it is, I'm sure, with Tesla, because the more and more property they more and more build on, their assessed valuation is going up, and of course that's abated.
And so then perhaps my numbers of 0.002% then were inaccurate, because I was basing the percentage on a $4.5 million abated tax that we had received. So maybe that's 0.003%. Compared to the $1.6 billion of taxable sales that Story County enjoyed in fiscal year 16-17. One of the maddening things about the Department of Taxation is that they have absolutely no way of quantifying where the tax revenue was generated from. I've been down there and talked to a half dozen different folks, and they're like, dude, we'd have to write new software to figure stuff out. And one of the problems that you have with a situation like this is that if you can't measure it, you can't manage it. My gut feeling is that of the $1.6 billion that we generated in sales, most of that is probably one-time, non-recurring types of transactions. You know, all the steel, all the concrete, all the expenses that you're going to do to put in a building are not going to be recurring throughout time. And so the real question is, what is it that we're dealing with? How can we figure that out? And then, is it possible to write every resident in the county a check for $1,100, which is roughly what $4.5 million is divided by 4,000 county residents? And so, as we look at this and try and wrap our head around what the best approach is, I think that without having real numbers, not ice cream and lollipops that might happen in 10 years, but actual tangible numbers that we can sink our teeth into today, making any decision is dangerous, as you've clearly recognized. So I don't know how we can put any additional screws to the folks at the Department of Taxation to quantify where this stuff is coming from. My guess is good luck, based upon my experience. But
when you get those numbers from taxation,
I'll be delighted to. And it really, those conversations were remarkable. It's like, well, we don't know. I'm like, guys, wait a second. If the way I understand the mechanism is that you collect the tax money up front, that passes through the county, goes to taxation, and then you give it back to them in a form of a
paper. It doesn't pass through the county.
It doesn't pass through the county. It goes directly to the state. But at some point, a check is written back to the taxpayer. I mean, do a check run register, tally it up, and let us know. It's, you know, that to me seems like business 101, but those guys operate in their own universe, and that's just how it is. So, caution is something that we should really use when we approach this situation. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
My responding comment to Mr. Toll is welcome to our world.
Right. Okay. Mr. Thompson.
Chris Thompson, Tahoe Reno Industrial Center Project Manager. First, I think it's great that the board and the county staff is discussing this in open forum in a workshop setting. This is just wonderful, wonderful to do this right out in the open, transparent as you can be. And that's a wonderful thing. A thought I have is that we assist the people I work for have a lot of real estate companies. And as part of the management of those companies, we track property values and sales data from the region, from the trade area.
And property values locally since the Tesla deal in the fall of 2014, at least by the counts from the associations in Reno, property values have gone up over 20%. They didn't call out Story County property values. I suspect Story County residential values have gone up. I think over time, given the companies that are going to come in at the park, those values are going to go up. So if we track how much values have gone up in Story County over the last 3 years, it would seem that we could take a bit of the property taxes, the increased property taxes based on increased valuations, and turn that back to the residents. Now, I know the valuations don't track every year, but I can tell you that they've hit the property we have out there hard with increases. And so I find it hard to believe that a government who has succeeded can't share some of the success with the residents, is my only
thought. Well, I'm going to mention something to you. You can believe it, because even though the value of companies may have been going up over the past 3 years, it's still based on a 10-year rolling average on the property tax cap. So even though the values have gone up, the taxes may have actually have gone down on the property. So we're actually collecting less ad valorem, yep, even though the value has gone up because of this convoluted, yep, legislative action that they've taken down there.
Do we know that for a fact, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
My question is, the property tax collections have gone up in this county, for sure. And I know the property valuations have gone up. The real property that we pay taxes on, we're paying more taxes now.
Well, tax collections may be going up because we're having more businesses being built in the park every year. But I know that I have taxes on my tax bill, and I have quite a few tax bills that I get. I end up paying less tax this year on some of my properties than I did last year, even though the valuation is going up.
We need to talk to your CPA then.
No, it's not my CPA.
Because our tax bills for the various parcels owned out at TRI have gone up twice since I've been here.
It has nothing to do with my CPA. It has to do with the Department of Taxation and the way this is all set up.
Yep. I just think it's worth looking at.
It's public record. I don't think we need to deeply debate, but I think the examples you're giving are a little bit, I don't know what the right word is, but just off, tucked at center, I guess, simply because you have a lot of ag deferred land. That comes into play. You know, there are an awful lot of factors out in Tri-Center, you know, that make it different. And I wish I'd have come with these numbers. Hugh, I don't know if you have that report. You know, we were always told for years, primary residents, primary single family residents cannot go up by more than 3% a year, and all other, including Tri, cannot go up by more than 8% a year. Those are the caps that Marshall's referring to. Until all of a sudden, this 10-year rolling average raised its ugly head. And one more element did, too. And what were we? Were we at 2.7? Our number came out to be 2.7, which actually we were darn lucky, because many other rural Nevada counties were stuck with a sub-1, like a 0.7 or something like that. But what that 2.7 taught us is there's another rule. I go back. Sam and I sometimes don't agree, sometimes we totally agree. The culprit is the guys he's calling out, and we'll go down together and try to kick the daylights out of them. But the culprit is 8% is governed by what that 2.7 is. So all these 8%ers whose values have grown strongly, they should have gone up 8% by our understanding. And then taxation comes back and says, no, it can't go up more than this number. It is ludicrous. And the answer probably, much as I don't want to disagree with Sam, the answer probably isn't taxation. They're enforcing the law. The answer is in the state legislature.
Fair enough. Okay, so just assuming everything stated is accurate, which I don't doubt one bit, is there a situation that could be foreseen that would justify a property tax reduction or rebate? And if there is, what about we define what that future situation might be? If we hit a certain point in this 10-year rolling average, or if the numbers reach a certain level, or if there's a certain amount of excess revenue, what about if we define that and at least put it in place that says, if we get to this point, then we'll start enacting property tax rebates. It just seems there's got to be some point where it's okay for the government to lower taxes or provide some rebate help to the residents. It's got to be out there somewhere, is my take. So thanks for allowing me to write input.
Thanks. If I may,
I agree with you, Chris. There's got to be a way.
Yeah, again, Chris, I think we continue to look. The risk in hitting a threshold and saying at this point we'll do this, and we learned this through the last recession, there are no 2.7, 3%, 8% breaks on how rapidly it can drop. That's another part of the legislative problem. So you have to be careful of the path that you're suggesting. That's what's got us cautious, to be honest with you, is, we can hit a threshold, but then when the bottom drops out again, and it will, it's economic cycling, in my opinion. When that bottom drops out, there's nothing to protect us as to how big a free fall we go into. That's why I think ideas like Commissioner McGuffey's, taking the Alaska pipeline where every family is treated equally, however this guy over here lets us do it. And we're all ears for ideas. Tell me.
Yeah. Just for educational purposes, I wanted to make one comment. We have this Article 10 of the Nevada Constitution says that the rate of taxation shall be equal across all properties. And that's one of the roadblocks that is preventing a distinction between residential users and commercial users. It has to be equal across all properties. There was a county that was valuing ag properties differently from other properties, and the challenge was made, you don't have a uniform and equal rate of taxation when you value one type of property differently, the ag property, in a different way from the rest. And the Nevada Supreme Court said, yeah, that's right. You can't do it that way. It's got to be uniform and equal all the way across.
If I may.
Thank you.
Because I think, again, these workshops are healthy, just like the last one. This one was more neat with the comptroller here. Then help us find a way, to do it. The Alaska pipeline probably isn't a refund of taxes, by the time the day's done. Take a pot of money, let's just say it's $1 million, and don't tie it to taxes. How can we distribute that in a way that's acceptable to the board and in a way that's meaningful to the people of the county? That's what we're struggling with, but that sure as heck is what we want to do. So help us find if it isn't tied to taxes, and because
we'll see.
No roadblocks.
The Alaska pipeline idea is an interesting thought. Maybe there's something there.
Okay. Anybody else have anything before we move on? All right. So we're not taking any action on this. So how about we just we'll skip along now to item number 20. Discussion of possible action. This is a second reading for a general business license. The applicant is Michelle Haley, owner of the Virginia City Cigar and Bar located at 69 C Street, Virginia City, Nevada, 89440.
We're in commissioners. We haven't gone to liquor board yet. Okay.
Right.
The sheriff's asked that I handle both these, and I've verified with his sergeant that the Virginia City Cigar and Bar at 69 North C Street is ready to be approved. The motion is in your packet. It is drafted by Brandy. And again, I'll say the same thing I said last time. This is a great addition to Virginia City. So Sheriff is thumbs up on this.
Okay. It just goes through his office. He's not on that board, so.
Yeah, it's one of those.
It's a general business license.
Yeah, they apply for liquor. It's a one-stop shop through the sheriff.
Is there any public comment regarding this general business license? Okay, and with that, I'll go ahead for a disclosure. I also have a general business license in proximity to this business, and my voting on this matter would not affect this applicant or any other business owner in the same proximity any differently than my own, so. Commissioner Gilman?
Yeah, I'll submit that I also hold a business license, and I join you in the position that we may vote and discuss on this issue.
Very good. Okay. That's it. If I can get a motion for approval.
I'll make a motion to approve the second reading, a general business license for Virginia City Cigar and Bar located at 69 C Street. I don't know if that's North C Street.
It's North, yeah.
69 North C Street, Virginia City, Nevada, 89440.
I'll second your motion.
Moved and seconded to approve the general business license for the Virginia City Cigar and Bar. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Okay, we're going to go ahead and recess as the Story County Board of Commissioners and convene as the Story County Liquor License Board. And next up is going to be item number 22. And so this is the discussion of possible action for the second reading for on-sale liquor and cabaret license. Applicant is Michelle Haley, owner of Virginia City Cigar and Bar, located 69 at North C Street, Virginia City, Nevada, 89440.
Did you want to make the same disclosure?
Yeah. You could. Well, you're going to go ahead and
I'll present.
You're going to do the summary, yeah.
Okay. You didn't want to do the liquor?
No, I'll use it first, yeah.
Okay. So, once again, the sheriff and I have consulted, and I've verified with Sergeant Kern that this one is also good to go. I think it's important that, you know, we try to provide as much information as we can. And in your packet was what I think an excellent write-up, perhaps one of the best ever, by the sheriff and the sheriff's office. This is in regards to the above entitled action. The applicant was found to have no disqualifying history. The applicant is well thought of by personal and professional references and associates. There was some concern over the lack of financial resources, but it was not stated her finances were at a level that caused the background investigator concern over her ability to successfully run said establishment. The applicant has been operating on a temporary license since September 19, 2017. Spot checks on the business during the interim period have found it to be respectable. The applicant has a six-year lease on the building from the property owner, who is listed as EHELP, a Deborah Danley Carter. The lease appears to be a standard lease with no undue encumbrances by the property. No irregularities were seen in the review of the lease agreement. All fire, health, and safety approvals have been obtained. As such, the sheriff recommends approval of the liquor license application and cabaret.
Very good. All right. Any public comment regarding this liquor and cabaret license?
Might want to note that the sheriff is not present.
For the record, Sam Toll, I'll make it brief. I encourage and welcome this new business and hope it has success throughout the six-year lease term. I would like to simply point out the irony of the embracing of a business like this. The two products being sold are tobacco and alcohol. Both represent the most dangerous threat to public safety. And yet, earlier today, again, the county demonstrated ostrich-like leadership in denying a substance that is clearly not as harmful, regardless of what my neighbor might suggest. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Any other public comment? Okay, hearing none. For full disclosure, I also have a liquor and cabaret license in proximity to this business. And my voting on this won't have any effect on this licensee any more than the other licensee in same proximity.
I join Marshall. I also have an on-sale liquor and cabaret license, and I also believe I have the responsibility to vote on this issue.
All right. With that said, I get a motion for approval.
I'll make a motion to approve the second reading, an on-sale liquor and cabaret license for Virginia City Cigar and Bar, located at 69 North C Street, Virginia City, Nevada, 89440.
I'll second the motion.
Been moving to second to approve the on-sale liquor and cabaret license. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. We'll go ahead and adjourn as the Story County Liquor Board and reconvene as the Story County Board of Commissioners. And next up will be item number 24, discussion and possible action. Letter to Congressman Mark Amadate, Senator Dean Heller, Senator Catherine Cortez Masto, supporting congressional bill action which serves to clarify language in Public Law 113-291, conveying to Story County approximately 1,745 acres of land in and immediately surrounding Virginia City and Gold Hill, which is identified as having clouded federal ownership, as well as any other congressional bill which serves to convey said lands from federal ownership to Story County. Mr. Osborne.
Chairman, Mr. Commissioners, thank you. Austin Osborne for the record. As I've repeatedly given updates during staff, we are working with our reporter group in Washington with Amadei's office, with Heller's office, and with Kathleen Cortez Masto's office in trying to get our lands bill approved or reconsidered for some clarification, and trying to reduce the need for a cadastral survey and other bureaucratic means that are preventing the transfer of land from federal ownership to residents and businesses that are here in Virginia City and Gold Hill. We believe that the board unanimously, or not unanimously, but supporting this effort in writing in a letter, we believe will help that effort. And so does the people that I just discussed here, Heller's office, Cortez Masto's office, and Amadei's office. And they are asking for your support in these efforts to get this land bill round two completed. And we believe that in the 2018, either the early session of Congress or the later session of Congress, that our groups will be able to get something formulated such that this will get approved, and then we can begin hopefully an 18-month process of transferring these lands over.
Very good. Any public comment regarding this? Any board comments?
Now, I know this has been going on for quite a while.
I know, it's just hoping we get it done in this Congress.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for that, Austin. Why don't we go ahead and do a motion to approve this?
I, Commissioner Jack McGuffey, recommend a motion to send this letter to Honorable Congressman Mark Amadei, Honorable Senator Dean Heller, and Honorable Senator Kathleen Cortez Masto, supporting congressional bill action, which serves to clarify language in Public Law 113-291, conveying to Story County approximately 1,745 acres of land in and immediately surrounding Virginia City and Gold Hill, which is identified as having clouded federal ownership, as well as any other congressional bill which serves to convey said lands from federal ownership to Story County.
I'll second your motion.
Moved and second to approve. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. All right, we've continued item 25, and we'll move on now to item number 26.
Discussion, Mr. Chairman, if I may, I hold a pecuniary interest in the land that is the subject of this action item, and so I will recuse myself and join the audience.
Thank you, Commissioner Gilman. This is a special use permit, 2017-034, request by the applicant, CMEX Materials Pacific, the property owner is Reno Tahoe Industrial Center, LLC, to construct and operate a ready-mix batch plant at 1000 Peru Drive, McCarran, Story County, Nevada, assessor's parcel number APN005-051-08. Ms. Canfield.
Kathy Canfield for the record. This is a special use permit request for a piece of vacant industrial land in the Tri-Center. It's a five-acre property. It's at Peru and the intersection with Ireland. They're proposing a concrete batch plant, and they expect to serve the surrounding community. Page 4 of the staff report has a preliminary site plan for their business. None of the structures on the site are proposed to be over 75 feet, so there's no special use findings for any additional height. The project's consistent with the zoning ordinance and the master plan, and the surrounding land uses are vacant industrial zone land to the north, west, and south, and then Golden Gate Petroleum and the railroad tracks are to the east, kind of northeast to the east. We didn't receive any public comment either for this meeting or for the Planning Commission, and the Planning Commission recommended approval. So it's a pretty straightforward project.
Thank you. We're open for public comment. Okay, Kathy, is this going to be a permanent structure, or is this going to be temporary just while they build out the industrial park so they don't have to haul material from Reno Sparks out to the industrial park?
This is an approval for something permanent. Whether they choose later on to change it once things are built, that's kind of up to them. But this is for a permanent
construction. It makes sense. I mean, they had a batch plant right at the Hoover Dam when they were building it, so they didn't have to haul it in, right?
Okay. The applicant is here, too. If you had any questions for them.
Do you have any questions?
I had the same question.
I beat you to the punch.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other public comment? If not, how about if you don't have any objections, I'll ask Kathy to read the findings of fact for approval. Okay.
Okay. This approval is for a special use permit file 2017-034 for applicant C-Mex Materials Pacific, property owners Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, LLC, to construct and operate a ready mixed batch plant at 1000 Peru Drive, McCarran, Story County, Nevada, assessor's parcel number APN 005-05108. The special use permit conforms to the 2016 Story County Master Plan for the McCarran planning area in which the subject property is located. A discussion supporting this finding for the special use permit is provided in Section 2E of the staff report, and the contents thereof are cited in an approval of this special use permit. The subject property is located within an existing industrial neighborhood in McCarran area of Story County. Zoning is based on the 1999 Story County Zoning Ordinance, which identifies this property as I-2 Heavy Industrial. The proposed ready-mixed batch plant requires a special use permit. Granting of the special use permit with the conditions of approval listed in Section 4 of this report will not, under the circumstances of the particular case, adversely affect to a material degree the health or safety of persons, property, in the neighborhood of the subject property. The project is expected to meet the safety and health requirements for the subject area. The use will also be subject to building and fire plan review in order to ensure compliance with federal, state, and other codes. The special use permit will not impose substantial adverse impacts or safety hazards on the abutting properties or the surrounding area, and it will comply with all federal, state, and county regulations. The conditions under the special use permit do not conflict with the minimum requirements of the 1999 Story County Zoning Ordinance, Section 17.37, I-2 Heavy Industrial, and 17.62, Special Uses. Granting of the special use permit will not, under the circumstances of the particular case, adversely affect to a material degree the health or safety of persons working in the neighborhood or area of the subject property, and will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property improvements in the neighborhood or the area of the subject property.
Thank you, Kathy. Once again, I'll open up to any public comment regarding this area. Special use permit. Hearing none, if I can get a motion, Jack.
In accordance with the recommendation by staff and the Planning Commission, the findings of fact under Section 3.8 of the staff report and other findings deemed appropriate by the Board of County Commissioners and in compliance with the conditions of approval, I, Commissioner Jack McGuffey, recommend approval of Special Use Permit 2017-034, a request by applicant C-Mex Materials Pacific, property owner Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, LLC, to construct and operate a ready-mix batch plant at 1000 Peru Drive, McCarran, Story County, Nevada, assessor's parcel number 005-051-08.
I'll second your motion. Move to second to approve the special use permit 2017-034. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Right. Thanks for coming up today. All right, let's move on now to item number 29. This is discussion of possible action, approval of business license, second readings.
I have this one, Mr. Chairman, and we've had a couple of weeks. We're down to probably only about 15 or so. But Community Development recommends approval of all licenses listed on your agenda and on your packet, specifically items A through Q, which are A House, Tool and Engineering, Baumbach Enterprises, Global ASI, Granite Propane, which I might add is kind of cool to see a business out of Silver Springs apply for a business license, and that only with the completion and access from USA Parklife. Interstate Concrete Pumping, LEDEC ES, Inc., Lelax Filipino Bakery, Master Service Plumbing, Inc., On Street Concessions, Straight Up Plumbing, Sierra Drain Service and Home Repair, The Burnt Orange, Truckee Meadows Office Cleaning, Inc., Unarco Material Handling, Utica Enterprises, Inc., Woodpeckers, and 4D Systems, LLC, all to be approved.
Thank you. Any public comment regarding the approval of the business license second reading? Hearing none, I'll call for a motion for approval. If I can get a motion, please.
Yeah. I'll make a motion to approve items A through Q.
Second.
We move to second to approve all items A through Q. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 30, public comment, Richard Backus.
Well, I know we moved on this afternoon, so I can't say good morning
anymore. At least you don't have to say good evening.
Angel Petrini and myself last year started on this, trying to get these horses out of Virginia City. And just recently, about a week ago, they destroyed my yard, this morning here in front of my place in Public Works, and droppings all over the place. I have tried to contact Chris Miller from Department of Ag or Brand Inspector, and he won't return our call. Joe, the cop, won't he won't return his call. Antonero's tried, and we got to do something with these horses. We have an ordinance, and I have it right here. You cannot water and feed these horses. There's about 8 people in this county, in Virginia City, is watering and feeding these horses. And I have signed 2 complaints, and they went to the DA. And there's one of them is right across the street from Community Chest. I was there this morning, and there's water in the trough, and they're still watering horses. They're out of town. I know who's going over there and filling up the barrels for these horses. And something's got to be done with these horses. Somebody's going to get killed. Somebody's going to drive down Gold Hill. They've already hit a horse down there. Somebody's going to get killed, just like out in Silver Spring. So the only way, you know, you guys have contact with the governor. Get the governor. He's the one who appoints these people. Get them out of this town. Somebody's going to get hurt or killed. Now, if you were in Rainbow Bend, he'd be down there taking care of those horses. Get them out of there. So why can't Story County do something with these horses up here?
Well, they like them in Rainbow Bend.
Well, that's not what I hear.
I'm on your side. I don't want them here either. And, I mean, going down my street, you got to dodge wherever you're going because it's a mess. I've had to put a rope fence up to keep them out of my yard. It doesn't keep the deer out, though.
No.
And I think the deer are in because the horses have eaten everything on the range. So
I've even went as far as put up an electric fence now. They tore my fence down.
We have at least 2 large bands of horses in town right now, probably at least 15 in each one of them. And I know that they're making a mess of this town. I don't know how many times Pat and I have gone over this. We're trying to. Why don't you go ahead and follow up on this, on what you're working on?
Yes, and I'll give you a couple of names. Slip. We can take it from there. Over a year ago, I wrote probably one of the nastiest emails to the director of agriculture, whatever his name is. Jim Barbie, thank you. In which I basically summarized everything you just said. Failure to return calls, failure to give a damn, failure to really do your job. That went unanswered for almost a year.
Yeah.
And then the problem kind of diminishes some during the winter time, never goes away. You know, and it comes back, and then it gets bad again. Trust me, we're painfully aware of it, too. I'm glad you're here, because the more people we get on the bandwagon, and the more doors we pound on. So the last one, we had a meeting close to being set up. The meeting on our side was scheduled to be Chairman McBride, myself, and Sheriff Antonaro to go down and say, what are you going to do? That meeting has been canceled. Mr. Barbie is apparently all over the country, maybe all over the world. It is still high on the radar screen. And I don't know what else to tell you except be real, because that's what we're doing. Now, that said, let me go back and again, Eric, if you have to come up, you know, you're going to have to speak into the mic. But I know recently that I became aware of one watering trough up on Howard Street.
Once I got that, I fed that to our nuisance officer, to Tracy Curtis. I'm not sure what Tracy's status with that is. I don't know if he referred it off to the sheriff's office or not. But we are working those that we know. So if you know of eight, I'd encourage you, drop a list off at my desk and say, here they are. And
well, I can go drive through this town up here and show you all, and take pictures of all these people's watering these horses. And that's why they're hanging around, because people are watering them.
Yeah. No, watering
with, in Gold Hill, up here in town, I know people up here already.
No. And I mean, I will tell you, I think we're doing everything we can. Can we keep trying and amp it up some? Yes. I will tell you, if we don't connect with the Director of Agriculture sometime by the remainder of this year, then I think your suggestion of the governor's office is one while we're hesitant to do sometimes, because you can get more accomplished with friends than enemies, is certainly something. And just so you know, that poison pen email that went out last year, I believe, included our state senator, as I recall.
Yeah, it did.
So, but I'd be happy to drive Sergeant Kern. I mean, I know there are state statutes on the book and county ordinances that Mr. Backus is referring to.
Yeah, I mean, here's the ordinance right here that was signed back in the 90s with the commissioner, no water and feeding of horses. And we got to do something. You know, I've signed two complaints already with the DA, and it keeps on happening. So it is a problem, and somebody's going to die. Somebody's going to get hurt in this county by hitting a horse.
These horses need to be relocated.
Huh?
They need to be relocated, these horses.
Yeah. They got thousands and thousands of acres out there. Let them go out there.
Right.
And, you know, you might want to think maybe you might have to hire somebody to go around and pick up this droppings with all the horses here in the county. It's terrible.
We did have to do that for a hot August nights a year, 2 years ago.
Yeah, last year.
Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Richard. Thank you.
Thank you. Again, Sergeant Kern, Story County Sheriff's Office. In response to Mr. Backus's concerns, the Sheriff's Office is actively investigating any reports, complaints, anything that we observe of feeding or watering horses in Virginia City, within Gold Hill, Virginia City, or feeding horses in the Highlands. We've had briefings on it. I've talked to the deputies about it. We're aware of certain areas where we have repeated problems. We are documenting it, forwarding it to the district attorney's office as seen fit when we determine a crime has been committed or probable cause exists thereof. My advice to any of the residents would be, if you are having an ongoing issue or it continues, every instance, contact us, report it, get it documented, and then that way it's a bigger paper trail to make something happen.
And, Sergeant, do you know what the penalty is for watering or feeding wildlife?
It is a misdemeanor.
Since we have the media present in the audience, perhaps something could go in the newspaper. When they get caught, they can expect it.
Well, I'll double-check with Deputy District Attorney, Mr. Loomis. It is general misdemeanor. What is the – I'm not sure of the fine.
6 months and $1,000.
Okay.
What is it?
Up to. 6 months and $1,000.
It's
up to that.
Well, then Joe told me this morning that the second offense goes into felony.
That may be. I haven't looked at the ordinance.
And again, that's up to 6 months or $1,000 fine. So that,
okay.
That's and or both.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Thank you, Sergeant. Okay, we had another public comment. Nicole. And then Jay.
Nicole Barks, Story County resident. Not to put words in his mouth, but if Denny were here, he would say that we have had the discussion about the horses in VCTC meetings. It says that the horses are actually an attraction to visitors. Just saying. Reason I'm up here is I'd like to ask a question because I'm confused. I'd like to know, when is a debt not a debt? There's been some discussion on the Highlands chat board about the TRI debt. And I'm glad that Chris Thompson's here, and I'm glad that Hugh is here as well, because Chris Thompson has said that the TRI debt that the county has, there is no note and there is no debt. These are his words. TRI and the county have a limited profit share agreement for surplus revenues coming out of the county. I'd like to understand what that means. I don't understand that the county, what is a profit sharing agreement on surplus revenue coming out of the county, the TRI? TRI is taxed. So what do we have a debt? When Hugh was giving his update this morning, here on the budget, there is a line item called TRI payback fund. You pay back on a debt. So I would like to ask for clarity from you as the final say. Do we owe TRI a debt as a county for the infrastructure, the $45 to $50 million, or do we not owe a debt? What is it? Please.
I don't know. We could be playing on semantics here. We owe them money, but and I wouldn't say they're surplus revenue. I wouldn't call it profit. I would say that we're paying them back 35 cents on every additional dollar that they end up bringing into the park with your business.
Of net revenue.
Pardon me?
Of net revenue.
Of net revenue, yes.
What does that mean?
You've explained this developer agreement, ad nauseum. And it is not just taxes. That is a misstatement. It is business licenses. It is plan review and permitting. I'd have to go back and refresh the list. There are a number of elements that are in there. But the components of the, to try to keep it as simple as we can, and not even go back into past history with the first $5 million, simply said, each year there's an independent audit done of revenues that have resulted from properties within TriProperty. There will be 200 more acres within TriProper as a result of action this board took earlier. We take those gross revenues in those categories and others, I'm sure, and then we deduct formulary expenses, cost of law enforcement, cost of fire services, cost of management overhead, cost of fiscal accounting. We deduct those to get to a net revenue, and then the developer agreement simply says, the developer builds it. We need two more fire stations. We are already in active conversations with the developer saying we're ready to pull your obligation under the contract to build two stations in this location. Those will have price tags. Those will have costs. They go into the amount of money that is subject to payback by us to try. And we pay those off with 35 cents on every dollar of net revenue. That story hasn't changed and won't change because that's exactly the way the formula works in very simplistic fifth-grader terms. Now, I can answer your question, I think. I'm going to look at Hugh. I would tell you a debt is a debt when our debt management consulting firm says that's a debt.
And
that's what
they're
paid to do.
Have they said that about the TRI?
They have specifically said it is not. It is not included on our annual debt management reports, and they have said that is not a debt. Because of similar comments to what Chris has said, in terms of if we had no revenue, no net revenue in any given year, then there is no payment.
So does that number of 45 and growing million ever evaporate?
Yes.
Well, without us paying, let's say we pay nothing. Oh. Does that number evaporate? Does it get forgiven?
That would be a question I'd have to. Refer probably to TRI's attorney or, our counsel. I don't know about the provisions for forgiveness. I mean, the assumption is there will always be some net revenue or should always be. If the bottom falls out, then we don't need to make a payment. And that TRI payback fund that you reference is, interestingly enough, there was a request to enfold it into the developer agreement, if you will, in terms of the interest earnings. I don't know how much is in that at any given time, but it hovers probably between $1 million and $2 million, I would think. And that is our rainy day fund to make sure we always have money to pay try our obligations under the developer agreement. There's not a note. There's nothing like that. It is a contract between Story County and TRI that they build infrastructure specifically and narrowly defined. We don't do anything with the GID. We do roads. We do storm drainage, and we do public safety stations for the most part. There may be something else in there. But those are built by the developer fronted. Those items go into the amount that are subject to payback at zero interest rate.
And so that's profit sharing?
I would not use the word profit sharing. Again, we're back to something Mr. Toll said. You know, there are phrases that are typically used in the private sector. I would call it revenue sharing and economic development formulas, I think. But it is, I can't call it profit sharing because I'm a local government.
Okay, that's an excellent clarification. And then the last thing I'd like to say is actually a request, and it's per the prior question about misappropriation of funds directed at unapproved bonuses. Please don't bury that report. It's not going to be pretty, but it'll be the truth. So if you're going to be investigating what the practice of this county has been in dispersing, whether they're bonuses or PERS payouts or buying of retirement years, et cetera, that's going to be an investigation.
I don't think we're burying anything, Nicole. That's why we're very transparent in what we say.
I'm asking that you continue to be transparent at them, and that when that investigation is over, that those findings come forth here. That's all. Thank you.
Thanks. Mr. Thompson. Wait a minute. If you'll wait one moment, I think Mr. Carmona had his hand up first.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'll go Carmona and then Thompson.
Afternoon. Jay Carmona, Virginia City Highlands resident for the record. There was just some discussion about the horses and danger to citizens. I wanted to request maybe that we can do a alcohol checkpoint. I encounter drunk drivers on the grade continually, and I know they come up here to drink. I don't need to explain that those guys are extremely dangerous to all of us, and I'd just like to see some more enforcement, maybe right outside of Virginia City. That's it.
I will take that on myself to share it with the sheriff. Sergeant.
Great.
Appreciate it.
That's in his wheelhouse, though, Jay.
Okay. Okay. Mr. Thompson?
Chris Thompson, Tallarino Industrial Center Project Manager. As probably the board saw on the blog, I posted a link on the blog to the actual capital improvement agreement that contains the specific terms. So there shouldn't be any question of anybody about what the deal is. It's there. If the document is there for the reading and people can read it for themselves, it's clearly drafted. It contains a great background section talking about the situation, talking about why this deal is good for both parties. And so if people would stop coming in here trying to get a gotcha moment on this board and others on specific wording, the document's there. Second, the agreement between Story County and TRI is referred to as a public-private partnership. And what a great partnership it has been. It's not a service agreement. It's not just a basic land agreement. It is a partnership. And that has a lot of good connotations with it in terms of our support of each other mutually and for the common good. And last, I just like to point out how great it is that this meeting, above all others, ought to point out to everybody about the myth of backroom deals and cigar smoke-filled rooms where people are meeting out of the public eye and where we come in here and everybody already has a plan. And the board and staff, you guys aired it out today in public, and I think the public should be very happy with that level of transparency, and the board should be lauded for that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. Reese, Pina, come on
up. Louise Pena, Rainbow Bend, and because I was brought up about the horses in Rainbow Bend, let me tell you, the horses have split our community of Rainbow Bend. You're either on this side or you're on that side. And you can be spit at over whether you think the horses belong in the community or not. I love the horses. I didn't even mind him in my yard. I didn't like cleaning up after him, but I don't like cleaning up after my landscaper either. But what we have found out, they don't belong in town. They don't belong out on the roads. They belong into the open spaces, our land. What I have found, and I wanted to tell Mr. Backus, is stop worrying about what it does to your property. Stop worrying about what the horses do to what, how people can get hurt. And if you want Chris Miller to pay attention to you, you tell him and the horses are going to get hurt. Because that seems to be his response. He will respond when you are afraid the horses are going to get hurt. The railroad, we've had numerous horses because they're being fed, and that seems to drive the horses down when they continually get fed. So if you can solve that problem, you have half your problem solved. But the railroad, they can get them off their property as soon as they get there. You see them, a horse run from the train. Next thing you know, the horse has been hauled away. Chris Miller's come and responded. So good luck with that one. And I, again, would like to comment on how intrigued I am that you are open and you discuss things appropriately. And one, how you run your meeting here is intriguing, and it's, it makes me feel very good that I live in Story County.
I just also wanted to update you. A meeting or two ago, you made a very interesting proposal that we've been following up on as far as trying to clear some of the bank, not of Lagomasino. Lagomasino is an ancillary navigable waterway or something, so it's Corps of Engineers. We can't. That's their baby.
I already know that.
Complain to President Trump, I guess, or whoever. But the riverbank project was beginning to kind of come to shape. We might be a little late this year. And then we have a resource management issue. The resources we were going to use were any seasonal firefighters that we still had on staff, and they pretty much had vaporized. Programmatically, that's a plan that we do each year to control costs. The bigger one we had, even at a cost of, I believe it was $750 a day, were Nevada prison crews through NDF, and they seem to be spending an awful lot of time in wine country right now. So we may fail you this year, but please be that squeaky wheel, and we will.
I will be back because I'm still, I want my riverbank back.
Yeah, and maybe we can develop a plan.
And right? And the most important thing is I've lived out there 24 years. I know that if the water can run, it's going to run. But if that backs up and the growth on the riverbank can back up anything, and when it backs up, that's when we end up in big trouble. Yeah, I can't imagine what goes down to Derby Dam. It's just the thought of that alone. So I'm not going to give up. I've been screaming and hollering at the HOA for 10 years, 15 years to do something, and I think they're just tired of me complaining, so I'm not going to quit.
What we've also learned since that last meeting is the Corps of Engineers does have a big dog in the hunt, in fact, bigger than we do, unfortunately.
Yeah. But they don't seem to care. I mean, they don't care about above river, above Reno, whether the homeowners clean up the river. They don't want to spend the money, and I don't care. You know, if we can get waste management to bring us our dumpsters and take it for nothing, and if we can, and I go with the good neighbor policy. And if we can get homeowners in within Rainbow Bend to come and volunteer their time, it works. And I will tell you, it helps our community when we do something and clean up as a community. It crosses both lines. So thank you.
If I could, because Corps of Engineers, we've learned, has such a heavy involvement, proactively as early as like the minute you walk out of here.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to slammer Senator Heller's Reno staff liaison. He's got a different title than that. Michael Leinhart. He's down there to listen to constituent concerns.
Where's he at?
Right down below us in the jail.
He varies
1 to 3, so you might see if he's in there. If he's not, He tries to come first and third Tuesdays for just this reason.
Okay.
So, and then from there, again, I would gladly get you in touch with, it would probably be better to work with the local offices first, mm-hmm. where they're familiar with the horses as far as working with D.C., but I do the same thing with Congressman Amade and Senator Cortez Masto, and we can get you contact info.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Louise. Okay. Sam, can you come on up?
For the record, Sam Toll, Gold Hill. We're pushing the four-hour mark here on our meeting. I know that I'm going to get the last word here, and then we're going to bolt and get something to eat. I think what Mr. Backus illustrated today is sort of reflective of a theme that has been recurring out of my yap for some time, and that is that in the interest of public service, I would suggest that we return to the letter of the NRS statute, which clearly defines the law as saying that public comment shall occur both at the beginning of every meeting and at the end. Mr. Loomis, I'm sure can point you to that NRS statute. I'd be happy to share it with you as well via email. it's interesting, we had a conversation between Ms. Bard and y'all about semantics. Mr. Loomis, I think, is probably the most equipped person in the room to recognize the importance of words and their meaning. I have read numbers of people who've walked away from jail terms or been sentenced to jails because of the words that their attorneys misused in their trial. When we refer to taxes, fees, and licenses as profit, it creates a disturbing tone. Government is not in business to earn money. Government is business to serve the public, and they do so with the hopefully very cautious use of taxpayer revenue, of fees, and of licenses. And when the notion that those income streams are profit is bandied about, suddenly now we talk about something that is at the root core of how this country was founded. I think the Constitution is very clear on how revenue can be raised. It's remarkable with the 16th Amendment where things started to go sideways in 1913 with the advent of the private income tax. We've seen just this ridiculous increase of government's hands in our wallets. And when we bandy about the notion that those precious resources are profits, it strikes at the core of our country. And so words do matter. Semantics matters. And, Marshall, if you're afraid of the federal government coming in and taking our money, if we approve marijuana, I direct you to the 10th Amendment.
Where did the word profit come?
It's on the Virginia Highlands blog posted,
read,
Mr. Thompson.
I don't read that.
And well, I do, and you know what? It actually is relevant.
It's not.
Okay, we're not going to have a conversation between the gallery and the board. Okay, any other public comment? Okay, we're done. Thank you.